far more difficult than the first step in any revolution. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics.
This is the Quality News Network. The Secretary of the Army, Francis J. Harvey, has resigned, and his resignation has been accepted by Defense Secretary Robert Gates. It is in connection with the recent problems at Walter Reed Army Medical Center. President Bush today ordered a review of the conditions at the nation's military and veteran hospitals. Yesterday, the chief of Walter Reed was dismissed after recent media reports of the poor conditions at the facility. An independent panel which oversees the National Guard and Reserves finds that the forces do not get enough money or equipment. The panel also concluded that the National Guard troops have been left out of the planning for national emergencies. In the South, at least 20 people in three states have been killed by a string of tornadoes that hit over the past 2 days. They died at a high school in Enterprise, Alabama, when a tornado caused the roof to collapse. The latest deadly winter storm that hit the Midwest and Plains states has caused at least 6 storm-related deaths. The blizzard conditions in Iowa, Nebraska, and Minnesota forced roads to be closed. Some areas received more than a foot of snow. In Atlanta today, at least 6 people were killed in a bus accident. 3 of the 29 injured are critically hurt. The chartered bus was carrying college baseball players from Ohio to a tournament in Florida when it plunged off an Atlanta highway overpass. North of Baghdad today, at least 14 and possibly up to 18 Iraqi police officers were kidnapped. An al-Qaeda-led group has claimed responsibility. The Iraqi government reports that a few hours later, 14 officers' bodies were found. They had been blindfolded with their hands tied behind their backs. Northwest of Baghdad today, 2 American soldiers were killed by a roadside bomb. A third soldier was injured, and their interpreter was also killed, according to the U.S. military. In Pakistan, intelligence officials say Pakistani security forces have captured a high-ranking leader from the Afghan insurgency. They say he was the former Taliban defense minister. However, a Taliban spokesman dismissed the report. Vice President Dick Cheney warned today that if the U.S. pulls out of Iraq, it would allow Muslim extremists to go into other countries, including Afghanistan. The jury in the Lewis Scooter Libby trial has adjourned for the weekend without reaching a verdict. The jurors have deliberated for 8 days in the perjury and obstruction case against Vice President Cheney's former chief of staff. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business coming up next.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and the victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of rancor. You got married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
The FDA will review the safety of over-the-counter cough and cold medications for children. There is concern that the use of the drugs in high doses and at young ages can affect the heart. Virginia will become the second state to require sixth-grade girls to receive a vaccine against the sexually transmitted virus that can cause cervical cancer. The world's largest shipping carrier, UPS, said it will cancel its order for 10 A380 cargo planes from Airbus. IBM and the parent company of American Airlines, AMR Corp., have entered into a $217 million deal over 7 years. IBM will perform personnel chores such as training and operating call centers. Dell Inc. reports its fourth quarter profits were down 33%. The computer maker blames weak sales of laptop and notebook models. The British Broadcasting Corporation has become the first international broadcaster to sign a deal with the video sharing website YouTube. London-based EMI Music Group has turned down a $4.1 billion takeover bid from Warner Music Group. Light sweet crude is trading at $61.64 a barrel, and at the close of Wall Street today, the Dow Jones had a triple-digit drop, the worst weekly decline in 4 years. The Dow was down 120 points at 12,114. The Nasdaq was down 36. The S&P 500 down 16. There's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Ali Dramov.
Okay! Tokyo! South America! Australia! France! Germany! UK! America!
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Well, it's 6 minutes past the hour, and I'm still here. I'm Bob Kincaid. We made it through some ugliness yesterday. For those of you who didn't look at the map, I am nowhere near Enterprise, Alabama. But it was, you know, I'd been away from this weather stuff for a while, mostly up in the hills and hollers of wild, wonderful West Virginia. We worry about things like, you know, snow and dams bursting and things like that. So while I grew up with all of this stuff, it is certainly a stark reminder of how dangerous things can get. I got up yesterday morning. I apologize for missing last night, but it was, well, you'll understand. I got up yesterday morning, and the sky was looking pretty creepy. Combination of two descriptors. The best way you can describe tornado weather is the sky looks like green buttermilk. I know, isn't that icky? But I stood there watching, flipped over to the National Weather Service channel, and it started bleeping and beeping and carrying on. And first it was a tornado watch, and then it was a tornado warning with an announcement that one had touched down about 8 miles from me at a place called Zip City. And for those of you who are fans of the drive-by truckers like I am, you'll know that Zip City is among their finest work, by the way. And it's a real place, Zip City. But wanted to touch down there. And then, you know, just to add to the drama of the whole affair, the air raid sirens started going off. Now, these things were put up back in the late 60s, early 70s, just in case the Ruskies were going to, you know, nuke us. Because, after all, but it comes in a lot handier for tornado warnings because they're very, very audible and in sequence, bang, 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 bang. They're located at the fire stations, and one after another, they all began going off. And, you know, they don't turn those things on for the fun of it. Those are used when it's very, very serious and, you know, so, you know, I was at sort of sixes and sevens. I'm here in this house, and this house is, you know, built of brick. But tornadoes, you know, brick's not much good against them either. So I dragged a mattress into the hallway, because you're supposed to go to the lowest point of the house. Well, there's no lowest point of the house. Or then, barring that, you're supposed to go to an area that has no windows in the central portion of the house and pull a mattress over you. Well, that was what I was prepared to do. And then I got to thinking about it. It's like, no, if this, no. And so, like a dummy, at least theoretically, I got in the car and figured I had enough time to get me to a different place. So thinking it would probably be more structurally sound than other places, I went to the public library. And when when the tornado warning had ended, they threw us out. Okay, you guys got to leave. We're closing the whole thing down. Everybody's leaving. So, and that was basically the day, because we got another one later on. It was a hell of a line of storms. And the thing is, this is not novel. This will continue now for the next couple of months in this neck of the woods. And it's, people just treat it as, another day. But when you're not used to it, it will flip you out. So I got back here yesterday evening and prepared to go on the air, and there went the power. There went the electricity. So that's why I was not here last night. And thank you for those of you who fretted and worried and emailed to see if everything was okay. Everything's okay. And I sincerely appreciate your concern. But I've got to tell you, ugly. And interestingly enough, it was musings on tornado watches and tornado warnings that largely brought about something that's going to go up on the web on Monday this coming, the 5th. Our good friend Billy Shears has a blog over at unreportednews.net. And it's music focused, and he kindly invited me to put together a post, pick out a song I like, write about the song, and I did. And the irony of what I chose in advance of this happening can't help but strike me. I don't know if it'll strike you, but it'll go up on Monday, and I really appreciate Billy giving me the chance to share what passes for thoughts passing through my brain. But all of that is by the boards, beside the point, because we have some cussing and discussing and conversing to do tonight, and I hope you will join me. Now, for my part, where can we start? Oh, there's a number of different places. I missed out on some fun stuff with some fun prayer meeting stuff on Friday, so there's a strong chance that we will have a look at that. And, of course, we have asked the question for, 2 weeks now? Week and a half? Why is no one being held accountable for the scandalous conditions that were uncovered by the Washington Post at Walter Reed Army Medical Center? Walter Reed Hospital? Well, looky. Somebody's not so much taken responsibility, but had responsibility handed to him. The Secretary of the Army, Francis Harvey, up and quit today. In the words of the Associated Press, as the Bush administration struggled to cope with the fallout from a scandal over substandard conditions for wounded Iraq soldiers at Walter Reed Army Medical Center. The surprise move came one day after Harvey fired the two-star general in charge of the medical center in response to the disclosures of problems at the hospital compound. Still no word of whether any responsibility will be taken by the man responsible, George W. Bush. Because after all, I mean, this is a chain of causality, isn't it? Have these problems pre-existed at Walter Reed? Yeah, sure thing. Were they? How old are the problems? I don't know how long the neglect has gone on. I would hazard a guess, however, that this became an issue, it became a problem, it became noticeable because that space became necessary. See, we haven't had a Vietnam since Vietnam. And we haven't had wounded like this in a long time that required extensive medical treatment and extensive outpatient treatment at Walter Reed. It's been a long time since we've dealt with anything like that. So as a consequence, only because George Bush started the war, And, you know, say it that way. When you're talking to friends, when you're talking to acquaintances, when you're talking in line at the grocery store, it's not the Iraq war. It's the war that George Bush started against Iraq. There's got to be some intellectual honesty to our discourse. It's the war George Bush started. It's the problem George Bush started. It's the nightmare that the Bush administration sent us into that we're having such a terrible hard time trying to wake out of. And thus far, of course, no luck. No luck getting George to take responsibility, because I guess his in the chain of causation is just too far down the road. Defense Secretary Robert Gates said Harvey had resigned, but senior defense officials, speaking on condition of anonymity, said Gates had asked Harvey to leave. Gates was displeased that Harvey, after firing Major General George Waitman as the head of Walter Reed, chose to name as Waitman's temporary replacement another general whose role in the controversy was still in question. Love this quote. I am disappointed that some in the Army have not adequately appreciated the seriousness of the situation pertaining to outpatient care at Walter Reed, Gates said in the Pentagon briefing room. Took no questions. Well, at least he's not like his boss Dick Cheney and insists on speaking as a senior White House administration official. Jeez. Defense Secretary Robert Gates said Harvey had yada, 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 yada. Isn't this finally proof of what I and so many other liberals have said all along? That for all of their patriotic talk, these people are unable to walk the patriotic walk. They treat our military like so many toy soldiers that you just throw away when you're done with them. That's what this is, isn't it? Talk, 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 talk. Harvey, 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 Harvey. Waitman, 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 Waitman. Gates, 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 Gates. Anybody want to talk about the 300-pound gorilla in the room? 900-pound gorilla? Big gorilla. Gorilla's name's Rumsfeld. Donald Rumsfeld, 5 years running the Pentagon. And I can't find his name in this article. Gates said, some have shown too much defensiveness and have not shown enough focus on digging into and addressing the problems. Would that word some, would that include Donald Rumsfeld? Well, you know, you go to war with the screwed up medical center that you have, not the screwed up medical center that you want. President Bush ordered a comprehensive review of conditions at the nation's network of military and veteran hospitals in the wake of the Walter Reed disclosures. Well, Mr. President, they're all screwed up, and you screwed them up. Brother. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's take our first break. When we come back, your phone calls are welcome. 877-443. No. I've gone blank. I think some of my memory got blown away in the high winds. 877-4 head on. That's the phone number. There we go. Am I addled? I'm a little addled, I think. Email to bob@headonradio.com. We'll be back. This is America's liberal voice. This is the horn.
The clouds started forming. 5 o'clock p.m. The funnel clouds touched down 5 miles north of Russellville. Sirens were blowing, clouds spat rain, and as the thing came through, I swear it sounded like a train.
Shh. The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
The difference between what I do on my show and what all the right-wing types do on their shows is very simple. I'm not going to lie to you. That doesn't mean you're going to agree with me about everything or that you're going to like hearing everything I have to say, but I will guarantee you that when I say something on my show, I say it because I mean it and I believe it, and I'm not just saying it to get you riled up and to boost my ratings. No potty mouth, no trash talking, no BS, just the straight truth as I see it, because the lies may sound good for a while, but the truth is there forever. It's not always pleasant, it's not always nice, sometimes it's hard to see through all the crap, but it's there. And that's what you're going to get from me, and that's why you should listen to my show. The Cup of Joe Radio Show, Mondays and Fridays from noon to 2 Eastern Standard Time on the Head On Radio Network.
Today, all Americans are feeling the pinch of high energy prices. And this winter, the cost of heating your home could account for nearly half of your energy bill. I'm Energy Secretary Sam Bodman, with steps you can take to save money and make your home more energy efficient. First, give your home furnace or heat pump a checkup to ensure it's running as efficiently as possible. Proper insulation in attic, ceilings, floors, crawl spaces, and exterior and basement walls can save 30% on your home energy bill. And insulate the heating ducts, even in unheated areas of your house. Finally, installing a programmable thermostat will ensure you don't pay for energy you aren't using. Program the thermostat down to 65 degrees for 8 hours a day to reduce your heating bill by up to 10%. You have the power to make a difference. You can reduce your home energy bills and help our nation reduce its energy use.
For more energy efficiency tips, please visit our website at www.doe.gov or call toll-free 1-877-337-3463. This powerful savings message is provided by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Alliance to Save Energy.
David Bowie, and of course, I don't know, one of my favorite guitarists behind him there, the great Pat Metheny. 23 minutes after the hour, and let's go to the phones. Bob is calling in from North Dakota. Hey, Bob, how you doing?
How are you?
I'm here, man. I'm it's a beautiful day today. You know, that's what happens after a tornado. It's beautiful the next day.
Yes. The tornado. Wait, guess what? We finally got winter in North Dakota. We finally got it. It's March, is it not? It's March 2nd.
It is indeed.
Last time I checked, and I'm looking outside, and, you know, I got ice and snow, two of the most important items that you need for winter. And we haven't had any all winter long. It's just been, you know, mild days, and it's been very warm, and we finally got, you know, sub-zero, and I'm saying, I'm out there, it's crunch, crunch, crunch. You can hear the snow snap under your feet, you know?
Yeah.
And here, you know, you got to live in it and love it before you can, you know, talk about it. And, you know, they were talking earlier about the Inuit people, the people that live in the frozen north, you know, and that's their environment. But now the environment has changed so drastically that their hunting has changed, and those people, those human beings have lived for thousands or hundreds of thousands of years doing just that, hunting and living off of their environment. And like Al Gore says, hey, the environment's changed. The people up there have been screaming about what the United States of America and every red-blooded, flag-waving, yellow ribbon Republican has done to this planet. They have been screaming about it, Bob, and nobody has listened. Well, guess what? We finally got winter in North Dakota in March, and we're supposed to have it in November, December, January, February, but it's March the 2nd, and we finally got winter. But it's only going to be here for a couple of days, because they're talking about next week the temperatures are going to be in the 40s and close to 50s.
Now, yeah, you need a good freeze up there. I mean, it's part of the life cycle of the soil.
Yes, it is. It's part of what, you know, Mother Earth needs a blanket to sleep, and when winter comes, the blanket covers her and she rests, and the soil rests, and those bacteria and those all of the nutrients rest. And then in the spring, when the thaw comes, then we have moisture and then comes back the grasses, and then comes back the wheat, the things that you people eat. I mean, I'm talking to you people, not you people in the West Virginia hidey holes in the hills there.
No, we eat it too.
I'm talking to them city folk. I'm talking to people who live in big cities, you know.
Yeah, the folks who think that steaks come from grocery stores.
Yeah, food comes from grocery stores. Yeah, those people. Food does not come from grocery stores, nor does steak. Okay, steak comes from the grasses that these cattle eat out here on the prairies. And then in the fall, many of them are slaughtered and turned into the steaks that you eat, you know, and then the produce that you fill your bellies with, the wheat that you make your toast with in the morning that makes your bread. See, if you don't stop and listen to the planet, to Mother Earth, and say, I owe my existence to this strange little globule of material that floats around this minuscule star that sits at the edge of a galaxy that we call what, the Milky Way, but it's just one galaxy in billions of galaxies. We don't even understand the vastness of the universe, Bob. Guess I've been kicked off.
No, we don't. I mean, and when you consider the enormity of it, it's hard to think of human beings as anything except subatomic. But,
well,
you know,
Bob, I got this beeping in my ear. Either it's the NSA or the CIA or somebody.
Or the battery on your cordless phone is dying.
No, it's a call coming in.
Oh, okay.
Hey, my friend, to you and to the people of planet Earth, fight for your own survival, and fight for the survival of the Inuit people. Fight for their survival, for the polar bears, for the plankton in the ocean. Fight for them. I mean, think about it, because their survival is your survival. And if you want to survive, stop putting yellow stickers on your damn SUVs. And, you know, think about being more, what was that? What's that John Fox says? A little more green.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Bob, thanks a lot. You better take your other call, but it's good to hear from you. I hope you have a great weekend.
Hey, to you and to Agnes and to the family, love always, and fight, fight, fight. Just keep up the fight. And hey, what was that, dear? Oh, Glenda's talking to herself, and I'm talking to myself, and you're talking to yourself, and Agnes is talking to herself. Everybody's talking to themselves. Let's talk to each other for a change, like conversation radio.
All right, Bob, we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye, friend.
Bye now. All right, we'll come back. Let's see. A couple of things more to discuss. It's not just the Army story. Dear leader, managed to mention Katrina today, and the non-recovery. There's that coming, and also I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but. An interesting little issue surrounding so-called Homeland Security. And guess what? A little union busting, just for the fun of it. 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head-on is the phone number. Jump right in at any time. We do not stand on ceremony. You want to talk? Let's talk. This is America's Liberal Voice, the Head-On Radio Network, The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at headonradionetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
Headonradionetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to The Horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at headonradionetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Do you believe the environment is issue number one? Does the idea of genetically modified food cause you to lose your appetite? Do you prefer green over greed? Do rising sea levels and vanishing polar ice cause you concern about our planet and what we are doing to it? Would you like news with attitude on the environment, organics, renewable sources of energy? Well, then join me, John Fox, for Foxed Up. Weekdays, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. in the UK, and 9 a.m. here in Sydney, where conversation radio becomes conservation radio, and we turn it straight up to 11. Right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Did you receive an email from the IRS saying you're due a tax refund? If so, don't open it. The IRS does not request personal information by email. Hello, I'm Russell George, Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration. The IRS and I want to warn you about bogus IRS emails and websites that look real but are not. These emails are schemes played by crooks who are out to steal your money and identity. Fall victim to it, and you can spend months, even years, cleaning up the mess they've made of your good name and credit record. Help stop these crooks from ripping people off. If you get a suspicious email, go to irs.gov and search for identity theft to find out what to do. That's irs.gov. Or call us at 1-800-366-4484. Again, that's 1-800-366-4484.
See, I kind of got to let that roll. That's why I love that song, Roseanne Cash. Just kind of wanted to hear it. That was selfish of me. Welcome back to the program. About 23 minutes and change before the hour. And what Bob mentioned in our previous phone call reminded me of something, and I had to run and grab it during the break. The fact that, you know, we are separated from our food, we're separated from our food production, and you know, people think that bread and meat come from grocery stores. In the course of, well, I've mentioned already some of what I'm doing down here, and that is trying to sort through nearly 50 years worth of life and the accumulations that surround life, and I've come across stuff that my mother held on to that was precious to her, and precious indeed it is. Family histories written by my grandmother, who was born in 1894, and she just tried to record and preserve for posterity a little bit of what her life was like growing up on a farm in rural West Virginia. And just as a sort of a reminder that food doesn't come from grocery stores, I wanted to share this with you. This is from the Goad family history. Hogs were the animals raised for meat, and they had to be corn-fed to ensure good, solid meat. They were butchered in the fall when the weather was cold enough that the meat could be salted down and cured on a table in the smokehouse without the risk of spoiling. Later, it could be smoked with corn cobs and hickory wood. The smokehouse was a building over the cellar in which there were no windows, but there were bins for storing grain. After the meat was smoked, it was usually left hanging to the rafters. Lard was rendered from the fat. Some of the meat was made into sausage and could be canned for summer use. This is the fun part. The heads could be cooked and made into souse. The ribs could also be canned, but the livers and backbones and feet had to be used first while they were fresh. Recipe for souse. This, you know, we're going to get on. There's meaning behind this. This is some of the stuff that that we've lost somewhere along the way. Recipe for souse. Thoroughly clean the hog heads, removing the eyes, snout, and ears. Then soak in cold water overnight. Cook the meat of the head and ears until tender, and the meat will come off the bone. Grind the flesh and ears while still warm, and drain off all the grease. Season with salt and pepper and sage. Stir in some of the liquid the head was cooked in. Put into a mixing bowl to cool, and be ready to slice. spouse. I suppose, perhaps, in French culinary terms, that would be a delicacy that one would consider to be perhaps a pâté. Spouse. And, you know, that down, you know, the feet, you know, everything but the oint got used. No, it's not head cheese, it's souse. Not quite the same thing. But my mother and my grandmother loved souse. Jeez. Not me. And I pass on liver cheese, too. But, you know, that's... There's something to be said about not being wasteful. And not... We probably throw away enough food every day in this country to feed the world. But, you know, it's too hard to try to save the world. It's a lot easier to start wars and try to kill some of the world off, isn't it? But that little digression having gone by the boards, I did want to focus on a couple of things this evening, not the least of which is the fact that, as we mentioned... On Thursday, the vote was taken in the House of Representatives on the Employees Free Choice Act. Employee Free Choice Act. Final tally was 241 to 185. It passed. It goes to the Senate. Voting in favor of the act were 13 brave Republicans and 228 Democrats. Voting against the act were 183 Republicans and two, find them, who are they, Democrats. Not voting, 8. 5 Republican, 3 Democrat, a total of 8. Among those voting against the act were, of course, as predicted, Archmore in a bad wig, otherwise known as Shelley Moore Capito. She's a congresswoman from West Virginia. She is sleazy and god-awful. Unfortunately, however, that 241 to 185 is a disturbing number because it is not a veto-proof majority. Now it goes to the Senate, and it remains to be seen what the Senate will do with it. You say something like this, understanding that people's lives are more important than politics. But it will almost serve, dear God, important purposes if the Republicans act true to form and once again move to destroy a perfectly good piece of legislation. In other words, filibuster it. We will know once and for all where the Republican Party stands when it comes to working people's rights. Once and for all, we will know them. The rubber masks will be pulled off. And we will know that the Republican Party is still committed to labor principles that were outmoded, outdated, old-fashioned, and downright mean, nasty, and cruel, that they were all of those things 130 years ago, let alone now. But I would far prefer to see this thing pass, and if anybody's going to kill this, to see it, because we're going to have to wait till we get a Democrat in the White House. That's all there is to it. And this will be another good reason for American working people to look up and realize that the Republican Party is pure poison for them. No amount of promises to put, Ten Commandments monuments in school buildings or whatever. No amount of that is going to change the fact that it's not going to, we'll move on from there. But it will be interesting to see what happens as this thing makes its way through the Senate. Somebody find out just for the fun of it, because I don't have the time. I don't have the time during this program to dig it up. Who were the two Democrats who voted against this bill in the House? It just astonishes me that someone would. And for the say, and for well, not here. I can do this. I can find the no vote. I got to find the italics. I'll tell you what, we'll come back from the break. We're going to take one of those right now. I'll come back from the break and we'll find out who the two Democrats in name only are who cast the no vote. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn.
United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network. There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Vlad, Wally, and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
Obviously need to address the issue of the Saddam Hussein execution. Have seen the video that was taken on a cell phone, or have read about the circumstances surrounding the execution. It's pretty evident that the absolutely worst thing that could have happened with the carrying out of the sentence after the long trial of Saddam Hussein happened. And if we had sat down and made a list and said, all right, here's a list of six or seven different things that could happen, what would be the very, very worst thing that could happen, not only for us, for the United States, but for the world and for the Iraqis themselves? And it seems to me that if not first, then definitely second would have been what indeed did happen.
The Dr. Bill O'Brien Show, Tuesday to Thursday, noon to 2 Eastern, here on the Head On Radio Network.
I'm getting a catcher's mitt.
I'm getting ice skates.
I'm getting a jigsaw puzzle.
I'm getting dying coral reefs.
A blue bicycle.
A walkie-talkie.
I'm getting a severe drought.
Cool black skateboard.
I'm getting melted ice caps.
A killer heat wave.
A shrinking glacier.
I'm getting a devastating flood.
Adults are generous. We're even giving kids global warming. But it's not too late. We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. Go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Okay, I think Agnes is pining for me or something. If you just if you're gauging by the bumper music, I can't tell. 10 minutes before the hour, we have our Mugwump, the answer to the Mugwump question. The two Democrats who voted against in the House of Representatives who voted against the Employee Free Choice Act are get your rotten tomatoes ready. On the one hand, Dan Boren, Democratic congressman representing the 2nd Congressional District of Oklahoma, which is made up of counties like Nevada, Craig, Ottawa, Delaware, Mays, Rogers, Cherokee County, Adair County, Sequoia County, Muskogee County, Okmulgee, Okfuskee, McIntosh, Choctaw County, Pushmataha, Atoka, Cole County. Shall we take a little time out for some head scratching here? What in the sweet name of heaven was Dan Boren thinking? Obviously, you know, this is a significantly this congressional district is made up of a lot of Native Americans, a lot of Indians. Are we to assume that somehow he was voting that the intent of his constituency? Call me crazy, but I have a hard time thinking that that's the case. American Indians are against decent living standards, against health care for working Americans. Nah, see, this doesn't work for me. House.gov/Boren. www.house.gov/Boren. I don't know. Here, this is not particularly dishonest, but at least they'll read your message. Go find a zip code in Muskogee County, so you can put it on the email and get it read that way. And ask this man what in heaven's name listen, we got listeners in Oklahoma. Somebody ask this guy, what were you thinking? What's wrong with you? Because while I do understand that we're not going to agree with our elected representatives all the time, there are a few things on which I'm not willing to negotiate, and rights for working Americans and a decent lifestyle for working Americans and health care and a respectable retirement. These are things on which we cannot compromise or we got trouble. And what's more, the thing that just really sort of makes you want to scream a little bit, we needed a show of solid support. And yet, Dan Boren decided to be a holdout against 228 of his colleagues? What was he thinking? Where does this come from? I can't fathom it. Because because, you know, the easy answer is to say, well, you know, he's a Democrat in name only. He's a Republican in sheep's clothing, blah, 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 blah. But that's too easy. I'd like to have the real answer to why he did what he did. The other baddie representing such communities as Hattiesburg and Iberville, Mississippi, U.S. Representative Gene Taylor, who has worked quite hard on Katrina efforts, voted against having working people be able to stand up for themselves and choose to belong to a union without having to fight every step of the way to get their representation. Gene Taylor? Gosh, I can think of somebody in Mississippi that might be able to ask him what the hell he was thinking. There are times as Democrats, there are times as a majority when we simply have to present a united front, and this was one of those times. And for reasons of vanity or God only knows what, Gene Taylor and Dan Boren, Democrats, stand up against working people and break that united front? I don't understand it in the least. And of course, you know, I am, however, enough of a political realist to realize that when the debate goes to the Senate, we're gonna see some more mugwumps. Oh, I can hear Joe Lieberman's voice in my head already. This will make it too hard for American business to do business. Brr. And I'm sure there are others whose colors will show. I'd like to think they won't. I'd like to think we're going to get every single Democrat, every single so-called independent, and maybe a couple of Republicans in the Senate. But you know what? Gene Taylor and Dan Boren did not set a good example for what the Democrats need to do when this bill goes to the Senate. And frankly, it's annoying, it's disturbing, and it's more than a little bit saddening. The Democratic Party must, above all, focus on the well-being of the middle class, because no one else will. If you look at electoral politics, sometimes it seems the middle class won't stand up for itself. That's very, very, very disturbing. So if you want to get in on the conversation after the news, I hope you will do so. 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. Jump right in. If you're on hold, we'll start the phone calls right after the top of the hour news. This is The Horn, and I'm Bob Kincaid.
From the grave, saying loud and clear, gotta stop Bush, gotta stop Bush. Voices from the grave, saying loud and clear, gotta stop Bush, gotta stop Bush. Remember those who have died by hands, remember those in far off lands, the innocent child, the newborn babe. Voices from the grave, saying loud and clear, gotta stop Bush, gotta stop Bush. Voices from the grave, saying loud and clear, gotta stop Bush, gotta stop Bush. And what about those who are still alive in hospital beds with burned out eyes, their bodies?
This is the Quality News Network. The Secretary of the Army, Francis J. Harvey, has resigned his post today in the wake of recent reports of substandard conditions at Walter Reed Army Medical Center. The center treats injured troops returning from Iraq. Harvey is stepping down just 24 hours after removing the hospital's commander. Those reports of substandard facilities also prompted President Bush today to order a thorough review of the medical care and conditions at medical and military and veterans hospitals across the nation. An independent panel which oversees the National Guard and Reserves finds that the forces do not get enough money or equipment. The panel also concluded that the National Guard troops have been left out of the planning for national emergencies. 20 people are dead in the wake of deadly tornadoes that swept across Georgia, Alabama, and Missouri. A roof collapse at a high school in Enterprise, Alabama, caused many of those fatalities. President Bush will visit the devastated areas Saturday. The latest winter storm to hit the Midwest and Plains states has caused at least 6 deaths. The blizzard conditions in Iowa, Nebraska, and Minnesota forced roads to be closed. Some areas have received more than a foot of snow. In Atlanta today, at least 6 people were killed in a bus accident. 3 others are critically hurt. The chartered bus was carrying college baseball players from Ohio to a tournament in Florida. That was when it plunged off an Atlanta highway overpass. North of Baghdad today, the bodies of 14 kidnapped Iraqi police officers have been found, all shot in the head. An al-Qaeda-led group has claimed responsibility. They said the officers were taken to avenge the alleged rape last week of a Sunni woman by Shiite members of the National Police Force. In Pakistan, intelligence officials say Pakistani security forces have captured a high-ranking leader from the Afghan insurgency. They say he was a former Taliban defense minister. And some Swiss soldiers became lost during a routine training exercise yesterday. They marched into neighboring Liechtenstein. They crossed an unmarked border late at night before they realized their mistake and went back to Switzerland. Both countries have downplayed the incident. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business news coming up next.
Terry's Lounge at the Cypress Inn in downtown Carmel invites you to a great evening of your favorite foods, beverages, and live music Thursday through Saturday, featuring Dick Whittington and friends from 6 to 9:30. Terry's Lounge in the Cypress Inn features an appetizer-sized menu and our famous burger, salad, and fries. Afternoon tea, a great local tradition, is served from 1 to 4 p.m. daily by reservation. Sunday evenings are special as Richard Divnick entertains from 5 to 8 p.m. with classical renditions of pop, jazz, and classical music. Join the fun, food, and music at Terry's Lounge in the Cypress Inn, corner of Lincoln and 7th. In downtown Carmel.
Tomorrow night, sky watchers in Europe, Africa, and the Middle East will get to see a total lunar eclipse. It may also be visible in parts of the Americas. Virginia will become the second state to require sixth grade girls to receive a vaccine against the sexually transmitted virus that can cause cervical cancer. Texas is the other state that will mandate the vaccine, which is controversial and has been criticized by some parents' groups. The FDA will require the safety will review the safety of over-the-counter cough and cold medications for children. There's concern that the use of the drugs in high doses in youngsters can affect the heart. And Dell Inc. reports its fourth quarter profits were down 33%. The computer maker blames weak sales of laptop and notebook models, as well as customer service complaints and an unresolved federal accounting probe. The British Broadcasting Corporation, the BBC, has become the first international broadcaster to sign a deal with a video-sharing website, YouTube. The BBC will show clips from its news and entertainment programs on the Google-owned site. And at the close of Wall Street today, the Dow Jones was down 120 points to close at 12,114. The NASDAQ was down 36. The S&P was down 16. And there's more at our website at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Laurel Crisson.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Hey, that sounds like a pretty good time at Harry Cypress Inn Bar and Lounge there in Carmel. If I was in the neighborhood, I'd drop in. As it is, where I am, we are in the midst of the George Lindsay Film Festival, which is also a lot of fun. I'm not sure if there's a website or not, but there's a lot of good films that get screened here every early March, and I'm going to go to the final awards thingy for it tomorrow evening. Should be a lot of fun. Let's go to the phones. Our good friend Andy calls in from Wales. Hey, Andy, welcome to the program.
Hey, man, how's it going?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. You?
Yeah, all right, actually. Not too bad. Oh, dear. It's terrible. It's all really terrible. But I'm not surprised. The whole Walter Reed thing, my question is, why is anyone surprised?
Well, yeah, exactly. And moreover, why do people keep treating this, why is it being treated as the disease instead of the symptom of the disease?
Well, yeah, you know, well, ultimately it comes down to they don't give a damn once the guys have been used up. That's what it comes down to. And if anybody can't see that, well, it's obvious. They keep going on about how much they support the troops. You don't go on about something that much unless you're trying to cover something up.
Well, exactly.
I mean, the example of that is what John was talking about with IKEA. I mean, he said, you know, they do loads of green stuff and they're really very green, but they just don't talk about it.
Yeah. Well, is it necessary to? I mean, do we need to be led by the nose, or I mean, can we just live by example?
Well, I mean, it should be taken as read that veterans of whatever conflict, whether the conflict was right or wrong, should be looked after by their country's military, but we just assume that that's right because that's what common sense dictates. But, you know, before we've fallen into the error of thinking that common sense is something that these people use, you know, they didn't give a damn, man. These guys were used for oil, and more people will be used for oil. I mean, the irony is, if nobody signed up, yeah, we wouldn't be getting, the world wouldn't be getting screwed over by America if all your people who signed up because they think they're defending freedom just went, no, it's all a lie, it didn't bother. No, it'd be game over for them.
Yeah. Likelihood of that happening?
Well, of course, you know, you sold this insanity of patriotism that, you know, somehow going and killing brown people somewhere is what it is to be an American.
Sadly,
British people.
It hurts me to hear these things, but they're things that I think too, and they're things that are not incorrect.
No, I know. I mean, that's what the you know, I hear on other shows, especially shows like Randy Rhoads show and stuff like that, how, you know, this isn't American. No, I'm afraid actually it is American. No, not all of you agree with it. That's taken for granted, but historically America's always acted the way it's acting now. It's just George is much more blatant about it than anybody ever has been.
He's more blatant, and it is to a much higher degree.
Well, yeah, I mean, you've also got to take into account the information age. You know, I mean, the reason Vietnam wasn't like Iraq is now in terms of sort of information coming out is because there simply wasn't the infrastructure and the networks for it to happen. You know, you had huge, great cameras you had to lug around everywhere. You couldn't just do it on a mobile phone and then email it to a website.
Well, true. We can't hide anymore, so much of the awful stuff we did, Andy, in previous centuries, we did within our own borders, at least arguably.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and it was always easier to hide. I mean, look at the British Empire. You know, the rumors escape, but the rumors are never really accurate, and there's always enough people saying, "Oh, it's just rumors," you know. And this is what it's the whole. Oh, it's just conspiracies about our government and all this. We get it now, you know. I mean, the whole Fox issue is going on about how anybody that disagrees with the government is a conspiracy theorist. I mean, why people don't just see that as pure Nazism, I don't know, but I guess most people have been fed it their whole lives in the States. I mean, you know.
Well, we have a disconnect with that. We have a
a national self-image, Andy, that says that, you know, because we helped defeat the Nazis, we couldn't possibly ever behave like them.
Yeah.
And it's delusional thinking, and it's a national delusion, because
I mean,
we are acting like them.
In more ways than one, because in no way did America defeat the Nazis. America defeated Japan, yeah, fair enough, you can claim that one as a victory, but you didn't defeat the Nazis, the Russians defeated the Nazis. And the Russians were going to defeat the Nazis whether we invaded Normandy or not, you know. I mean, that's it, whether you like it or not, they are the facts. I mean, how many tanks did the Americans have in Europe? A couple of thousand? 10, 15, 20,000? How many tanks did the Russians have? Million? Million and a half? Who was going to win World War II? Come on. Do you know what I mean? And this is the thing. I mean, you've got a cognitive dissonance. It's a great term. The whole of like what you've been taught since World War II, probably since before, is just bizarre. It's just not real. And it's sad. It's really, really sad. Because for people like you and other people that woke it up and seen it, how can other people not see it?
I honestly don't know. Part of it, Andy, has to do, really, honest to God, with the word Nazi.
Mm.
If you so much as say Nazi and somebody else's name in the next breath, you wind up having to be like Senator Dick Durbin, who, you know, fiery, lots of guts, but was eventually forced to apologize because of a remark that he made in the Senate a year ago or so, where he was pointing out the abuses of Abu Ghraib and some other areas, and he said, the report that I'm reading you, if you didn't know it was American soldiers, you'd think it was Nazis.
Yeah, well, he should have said.
And, I mean, that's not even calling them Nazis.
Well, he didn't call anybody a Nazi. What he said was that this, looked at in a purely historical context, could be looked at and referred to as Nazi-ish. Or he could have equally said, you know, Stalinist or Maoist or whatever. You know, he wasn't wrong, you know. This is the fact.
No!
He was wrong.
And it makes me crazy that he apologized.
Well, yeah, I mean, if it had been me, damn straight, I'm not apologizing. You know what? I'll engrave it in stone for you and have it presented. How about that, Fox News? Do you know what I mean? And the problem is, Fox News starts the liberal media because the other media report things like this. And the other media go, oh no, we're being accused of being liberal again. And so they start putting pressure on the people they're reporting on, and those people end up going, oh no, we're being pressurized by the media to apologize. And that's what happens. You know, I mean, your whole system is just screwed up because your media for years have been, you know, since Reagan, but certainly, and even before then to a degree, have just been completely complicit. This fourth estate is like the fourth complicit estate. It's not some separate entity that monitors your government. Only now with the blogs is there a separate entity forming. And even then, I mean, it's really difficult to say, like, you know, blogs are factually correct, because you know, you have to look at them and wait and see and work it out for yourself. Some of them are really good, some of them are completely terrible.
Well, that's true, but blog, you know, with the blogs, though, even that's under attack. We talked night before last with our good friend Cody out in the Bay, San Francisco Bay Area, talking about Josh Wolf's predicament. You know, this guy is a citizen journalist, wanting to make journalism his career student, who is rotting in a prison cell.
Well, yeah, I mean, God,
for absolutely nothing.
Well, I mean, God forbid you practice citizen journalism outside the EU. I mean, I wouldn't want to be doing it anywhere the European court wouldn't be able to protect me. And even that, I mean, I'm living in Britain, which is dangerous enough with our one-way, super-duper, hyper-streamlined extradition treaty. That's something I'd like Americans to raise with their congresspersons.
Which?
Why is it acceptable to just take people from Britain with a special extradition treaty, and yet, when Britain has a legitimate complaint about an American citizen, we can go hang? I've asked my MP and various people, but none of them seem to be able to give me a good answer. But,
well, I don't see how an MP could give you a decent answer, Andy, because it's got to be humiliating.
Well, it comes down to Blair, basically. I mean, I live in a constituency that's Liberal Democrat, so it's not even like there. You know, I can ask the guy in charge to ask the guy in charge, as it were. They're the wrong party. But, you know, we just live in a completely screwed world because of a bunch of people that decided fear is the way to go, you know? I mean, the reason they're trashing liberalism is because they have this idea they can sell us that liberalism failed. Look, the 60s, all that love and stuff, didn't happen, wasn't positive, still had the Cold War. It was only with consumerism Reagan managed to defeat communism. And after the defeat of communism, well, all these Cold Warriors needed someone else to fight, didn't they? And so Al-Qaeda was born.
Or invented.
Well, born in the depths of the CIA.
Yeah, and
I mean, that's a fact. You know, there are CIA people who've come out and said it, and, you know...
Yeah, and now we're embroiled in what may well, you know, it depends on what the media does with it, we're embroiled in what should be son of Iran-Contra. You know, we're in bed with the enemy again. And again, it's a Republican president doing it, and they're doing it because of an absolute and utter disdain for Congress.
Well, they want a war with Iran. If they're going to have a war with Iran, they need Sunni Muslims to start blowing up Shia Muslims in Iran. And so they have to fund Al-Qaeda to do it. And they don't give a damn. Whatever it takes, Bob, whatever it takes. You know that. I mean, look, why did they blow up Afghanistan when it was a Sunni Muslim problem that they had, apparently, after September the 11th, assuming that that's correct? You know, well, that's completely insane. You should have been blowing up Saudi Arabia, maybe Kuwait, you know, those sort of places. It's completely insane. But, of course, you know, it's not hunting terrorists, it's keeping populations afraid and keeping them, and George Bush has obviously decided that fear is not enough, they've got to be at war, the people have to be at war, and so he'll attack Iran, and of course it helps his oil buddies, they'll get along with it, because the price of oil will get up to $100 a barrel or more.
And, well, I mean, do fuel prices fluctuate over there, Andy, like they do here?
No, the government, I mean, we pay 80% tax on our fuel, so, you know, 80p in a pound is tax. So the government basically has already got it locked down and restricted, and the oil companies really can't change their prices that much. We do have quite big fluctuations in energy prices, but we actually do get it going down sometimes as well.
Well, I mean, we're seeing it happen now. We were talking about it just a couple of nights ago on the show. Literally, from 8 in the morning to noon, there was a 15-cent jump in the price of gas at home.
Mm. Well, I mean, it's all to do with oil predictions. I mean, none of it's real, you know. The whole markets are getting mad because China's decided to take the edge off its growth because the markets went mad before that because China looked like it was going to overcook its growth. I mean, the markets, basically, here's the way it works. A bunch of rich people who are in charge of everything take the money out of one area and put it into another area, and in the process make themselves billions and billions of dollars, which is a few percent. For the area they take the money out of, jobs are lost and things are wrecked. For the area they put the money into, economies are distorted and jobs are lost and things are wrecked. And then, a couple of years later, they do it again. And that's what it's all about, you know. Speculation, man, speculation. Making money off
and,
money.
You know, that's why I said a couple of nights ago, it amazes me that people invest in the stock market.
Well, it drives me wild. I mean, you know, there is very few things that you can actually invest in that are worth investing in. I mean, precious metals, yeah, makes sense to invest in precious metals. But the whole speculation market thing, it just doesn't make any sense. It was created purely so the super rich could get richer.
Yeah, and richer. Well, what? And richer betting on the come as opposed to betting on what actually exists.
Well, you know, look, there's that great liberal George Soros. Yeah, George Soros nearly broke the Bank of England back in the 90s. It's called Black Wednesday over here because he bet against the pound. You know, he massively devalued the pound. I mean, he wiped out pension schemes and so on. Just wiped them out. Because he wanted to make a few extra percent. And he's a great liberal American, isn't he?
Well, I think George Soros is a creation of the right.
Well, George Soros, just like all the other scumbag rich investor idiots that can go jump off the face of this planet as soon as anything, as far as I'm concerned, we don't need him, we don't want him. And, you know, I'm not going to play the normal liberal line of saying, oh, we should forgive these people, because they want to kill me, and they want to kill you, and they want to kill your family, and your daughter, and your son, and everyone else, and they want to kill us all, because they want everything. And they don't even want to kill us because they hate us, they want to kill us just because we're inconvenient.
Right.
Which is the worst thing.
And would kill their own grandmothers.
Oh, hell yeah, they'd kill their own children. They will kill their own, they are killing their own children. Look at what they're doing to our environment. I mean, it's no longer safe to eat fish for anyone. Not even, you know, a few months ago it was pregnant women shouldn't eat fish. Now it's no one should eat fish, according to various scientists. And of course,
and in the meantime, one of the great little stories that went by the boards this past week. In the meantime, the KFC, the Kentucky Fried Chicken chain, and I know there's KFCs in London.
Yeah, they're not allowed to cook the Kentucky Fried Chicken because the union said what they use isn't actually chicken.
Real?
Its name is now Beast 17.
You're kidding?
No, I'm not kidding.
Well, at any rate, KFC, and maybe that's why they're KFC and not Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
KFC has petitioned the Pope.
Yeah, I heard about this.
For Pope Benedict to specifically bless their mackerel snacker.
Yeah.
Or fish snacker sandwich for Lent.
Yeah.
I mean, and you know what? Odds are the guy'll do it.
Probably, because it's good publicity. Any publicity is good publicity. Remember that one? And the Vatican
has
all the publicity.
Yeah, there's no such thing as bad publicity.
No, hell no. I mean, you know, the next thing they'll be doing is coming up with some sort of, like, halal version for Muslims in various special times, you know. Maybe they'll only serve it before and after darkness or something.
Yeah, I'm waiting. Well, I'm waiting for Hormel to go out and try to find some, try to get them to accept halal pork. Jeez. You know, all for a buck, Andy. All for a buck. Or a pound or a euro or a...
Well, it's all about percentages. I mean, they don't even care what the symbol is in front of it, do they? Because it's all meaningless. It's about numbers of zeros. And whatever currency that they can move their currency into that gives them the biggest number of zeros, then that's what they'll do. And, you know, the corporations are basically doing what they have to do because of the system that's been created.
And what we've seen with the stock market is proof of that, because the United States and the American market would rather gnaw off their own arms than to admit. I mean, because ever since we had the big plummet, it's been nothing but, you know, this was a market correction, Fred, and this was bound to come because investors have been investing in blah, blah, blah.
Oh, yeah,
and
they're amazingly good with their hindsight, aren't they, the commentators?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, it's just a correction. It's not a matter of the entire paradigm has shifted away from the United States. You know, the saying used to be that America sneezes and the world gets the flu.
Well,
China is sneezing now, and we're shivering with a fever.
Yeah, I mean, the great irony is that it's all to do with, like, your war. Do you know what I mean? Even the stock market. Everything comes down to the Iraq War, but you try and get anybody in America in position of authority to admit that, blood out of a stone, you know what I'm saying? I mean,
oh yeah.
The reason you've got huge economic shocks, because you're broke, and you're borrowing all your script off China, and you're borrowing it at really extortionate rates as well. I mean,
oh, by the way, what's I've got to shift gears on you for a second.
Yeah,
a little bit. This is a little bit more fluffy, but I have to know your thinking. What kind of noise is being made over there about Tony Blair's dirty picture from his wayward youth at Oxford?
Virtually nothing.
I'm sitting here looking at the photograph now. Apparently, it was retouched. It's run several times. It's a picture of his dining club.
Oh.
From like 1975 at Oxford, they were called the Archers.
Yeah,
and they're all sitting there in their white trousers and their blue blazers with their rep ties and their boater hats. And honest to God, Tony Blair with his long hair looks like, you know, he wants to be Mick. But he's holding his hand down at waist level in such a way as to be vulgar.
Yeah, well, it's just not going to get much play. I mean, the BBC aren't going to touch it. There's just no point. The tabloid press might go for it, but, you know, it's the weekend. We won't know really till Monday.
Well, apparently the original version was just unveiled a couple of nights ago on Newsnight.
Oh, right. I missed Newsnight the last two nights, which is a first for me. I normally religiously watch that, so that's unfortunate. The BBC, yeah, in general, the BBC is not going to touch that. I doubt BBC News will. Newsnight's kind of fairly, I don't know, independent, you know what I mean? They don't really get told what they can and can't do. So they normally do try and take the mick out of Tony Blair if possible. But, you know, equally they'll do it to David Cameron, the leader of the opposition. I mean, a couple of weeks ago it was him and drugs. You know, did you or did you not snort some cocaine once? I don't think people are interested in what I once did, was his reply. Like, damn straight we're interested. What you need to do is you need to stand up and say, yes, I did take coke, and I smoked a spliff, and I inhaled, and it was really, really, really nice. And you know what? I'm not regretting it. And you know why? Because it wasn't a bad thing. And no, I'm not an addict. And yes, I want to run the country. And everybody would go, oh, well, there you go.
You know, yeah, it was fun, and I don't do it anymore.
Well, that's it. I mean, you know, hey, you could even say, hell, I still smoke joints. Everybody would go, all right, say what? I mean,
you really, honest to goodness, that it would be that much of a non-issue.
Okay, here's the thing. In Britain, it's estimated like 56% of the adult population have tried or currently use cannabis. So over half of our population have tried or currently use cannabis. The strongest weed in the world is grown in Britain. Not Holland, Britain.
Okay, so it would just... Well, you know, and that's why we have to deal with things like Bill Clinton saying, you know, I didn't inhale, or George Bush saying, I'm not going to talk about stories from my misspent youth.
Ridiculous. I mean, you know, first of all, George Bush should be ashamed of what he did, because as far as I've heard, he shoved half a rainforest up his nostril. You know, if you've smoked a few joints, or even if you heavily use cannabis, it shouldn't be a problem as a politician, because, you know, it's not even drinking. And how many politicians have been drunk? Do you know what I mean? Churchill, for example.
Well, Churchill had a snifter in his hand before his feet hit the floor out of bed.
Yeah, pretty much. And that was after ducking on the crack suite.
Yeah. So,
you know, I mean, you know, we have this ridiculous attitude, all of it caused by Anslinger, that ridiculous alcoholic, who, I mean, even Hoover thought Anslinger was a freak. And if Hoover thinks someone's a freak, then there's really something wrong with them, yeah?
And you're way far gone, exactly.
I mean, you know...
Andy, I got to roll on, but I always enjoy our conversations. Stay well over there, all right?
I will do, man, you too.
At least you're in a place where tornadoes don't happen.
No, we do get the odd few, but mostly a bit further north than here. No, we just end up with lots and lots of lightning and hail, man.
Yeah, and our regards to Hazel, too.
I will do, man.
All right. Have a good week, then.
You too, man.
Good morning. Bye. You know, I think in my own time zone, Andy waits till 1 in the morning to share his time and listen to this program, and it astonishes me. We're going to go to more phone calls when we come back. We got a break to take right now. 28 minutes after the hour. This is the Head On Radio Network. You know what it is. It's America's liberal voice. And I'm Bob Kincaid. I got a space. You found some better praise, and I miss you.
United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
As I understand the conflict right now between the president's bill and the one supported by the Democrats, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, is that John McCain and Lindsey Graham and the Democrats say that the bill, the standards we use, should be the standards that are the same as the treaty we signed, the Geneva Convention signed after World War II that every civilized nation follows. And the president is saying, that restricts me too much. That's too humane. I want to be able to do other things. I won't say what they are, but sources tell us that things like waterboarding, you know, drowning people, putting them in 50-degree weather. And the question, I think, is should we hold the United States to the same standards that England holds itself to, that Canada holds itself to, that other civilized nations hold themselves to?
Get the view from inside the Beltway with Mark Levine on the Radio Inside Scoop. Right here, 2 to 3 p.m. weekdays on the Head On Radio Network.
Hey, have you got a minute? I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah. Before her, there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The Man Ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Let's go to the phones. Sarge is with us. Hey, Sarge, welcome to the program. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Bob. I was trying to get through tonight without calling you, man, but after you got...
Why?
Well, I'm sure people get tired of hearing from me, so I...
No, they don't. No, they don't.
I hope not.
Don't you ever hesitate to call. You hear me?
Well, I just hope I keep people informed. I just, you know, when I call, I hope I add something to the program. But what I did want to tell you about is Mr. Gene Taylor.
Yes, sir.
He is my representative. He represents
Perry
County where I live. I have talked with this man on several occasions. His home was destroyed, and he's one of the very few who are actually coming down here and doing something. It's not beyond him to get on a backhoe and help a neighbor put his land back in order, you know, which is good. I mean, that's great. I'm glad he's doing that.
Well, all the more reason then that I should be perplexed at his vote in the House.
That's right, and I'm going to tell you, he's probably one of these DLC types. I don't know exactly where I would fit him in, but now he does have a very strong contingency that is and I hate to use this because it's really such a false term, conservatives. You know, they think. We're so indoctrinated. You know this from being in Alabama.
Yeah, but down here, Sarge, even the liberals are conservative, okay? I mean, they have to call themselves that.
Right. Well, you know, I'm one of those rare ones that I guess I'm a liberal for this area. I don't know where I'm...
And look, it is rare. I'm not kidding.
Yeah,
you're absolutely right.
You know, that's why I'm really trying to get the Southern Progressives united with Daryl from Democracy Interactive together, because I think it's time that we in the South who are liberals, and it doesn't have to be just Southerners, but, you know, Southerners need to take charge, and we need to start turning some of our local stuff around and start making these people more accountable. The news media here is just atrocious, like WLOX running that deal on the Hitler thing, you know, where the little guy makes it such a big deal out of that. And these people are like Dave Benson of WLOX TV, who is clearly in Republican camp. The same man that told me everything was doing pretty good. We were better off in New Orleans, which, you know, screw you, man. I don't want to hear that. You know, I don't want to be better off in New Orleans. I want New Orleans to be better off. I want the Mississippi coast better off. I don't care who's doing better than the other one, as long as everybody's doing okay. That's the way it should be. And these people like Dave Vincent just anger me, because they're getting the word out to people that's, first of all, not true. Secondly, then when they get an opposing viewpoint, they smother it. They don't let it out. I have talked to WLOX. They even made a film while KPHX and Horn and UnreportedNews.net was here. The WLOX came and made a video of me talking about some of the problems that Haley Barbour is ignoring, and it never saw the light of day. And of course, I knew it wasn't. But that's just the way this media is here, and that's why I'm so adamant about Horn and Nova M getting into the Mississippi coast. And we can do it. We can do it. We're going to do it. But we have got to educate Southerners and even people from outside the South. If they'll come by and help us get the Southern Progressive United put together, maybe we can change the South, and we can change these Gene Taylors. Gene Taylor, his vote is more reflective of the attitude that he sees within this area, and it's that way because the people are so misinformed and so poorly educated.
They've been lied to so long that the lie has become the truth, Sarge, because I don't even have to be there. I mean, I can hear it here if I want to, and this is one of the last little Democratic bastions of Alabama. It's one of the reasons I love this area so much. But I've heard it. You know, well, you know, we don't need unions. The day of the union has gone.
Right.
The things that made people need unions don't happen. You know, we got a 40-hour work week. Well, you know, the 40-hour work week's disappearing, isn't it?
Yes. And you know, it's like my neighbors. I can't even get one of them to give me a ride 2 miles to the grocery store, even though they know that I'm not supposed to be walking on these degenerating legs too much. They don't care, because I'm one of those liberal agnostics, so I'm just a bad person all the way around. Of course, this is the same group of people that when I asked them, would you get involved and help get some materials down to Jim Yancey in Jackson County, Mississippi, and let's get him some help, get these people back on their feet, let's get them rebuilt, because the government's not doing it. Well, the church did that a while ago, so that's good enough for me. You know, that good enough for me attitude. Or like one guy I know in Alabama, Montevallo, I believe his name was.
Montevallo, sure.
He told me, he said, man, that's bad about what those people, but y'all see what I live in. And he wasn't affected by Katrina, you know. And I told him, I said, well, you know, that's partly because your people need to start looking at their government and making their government more responsible, instead of getting mad because you don't like the way some liberal talk show host uses the word damn or something, you know. And I mean, they find the smallest things to cling on.
Oh yeah, yeah. Swallow a mountain and gag on a gnat. It comes with the turf down here.
Oh, by the way, I meant to tell you, Dave McKenzie, King Dave McKenzie, told me to tell you, when I put up his new thing on Pearl Harbor, it is up now. His Pearl Harbor podcast, and it's awesome.
Well, let me ask you, Sarge. Are you going to be calling? Are you going to be calling your congressman's office and ask him to be responsible for his vote?
Well, obviously, you know I'm going to. I have talked with his office on many occasions, and I have discovered one thing. His staff is like a lot of staff in Washington, D.C. They're pretty non-responsive. Once they find out you're pressed, which if you're a blogger or you have something like unreportednews.net, which is they're getting to know pretty well. They come by every so often. But when they hear about you, then they start clamming up on you when they get to know you if they feel you're going to ask them questions they don't want to answer.
Well, for those who do want to ask the question, of course, Gene Taylor's Washington office phone is 202-225-5772. 202-225-5772. And I don't believe there's anything untoward in asking a man to stand up and explain voting absolutely drop-dead but wrong.
Well, I tell you the process.
On a piece of legislation that's as critical as this.
I'll tell you the process I'm going to have to go through, and I'll start it Monday because I'm going to get an answer to this one way or the other. Even if it's just a form answer, I got to get some kind of answer on this because I want to know why he voted that way. I'm one of his constituents, and I want to know. And he better tell me because I'm.
Well, that's the thing. Don't go to him. You know, I'm not giving marching orders or anything, Sarge. But don't go to him as a blogger or a journalist. Go to him as a constituent and say, you know, this is the thing that we put you in office to vote for.
Right.
You're not. You know, you're not up there to hobnob around with the Republican minority.
Well, one thing I do want to do, and I don't know. You know, I only do my little share, and I've only got my two or three people that pay attention to me. But one thing I do want to do is get more union activity reported at unreportednews.net. One of the people I'd love to have do that is Wayne. I really want to push the unions more at Unreported News because I think they're the key to getting our middle class secured again.
Well, exactly, and of course that's you know that's another one of those mountains we have to climb, Sarge. Is that there's you know the labor movement has understood probably before anybody else really got on board and understood it that it's the inability to get our side of the story out into the media that makes it so hard for us to have successes. And by us, I mean people who care about you know working folks and middle class lives and middle class issues.
Well, also the unions have really got to, in these areas like Mississippi, one thing they're really going to have to do is they're going to have to start educating the people, which is hard because these people are indoctrinated in their churches, they're indoctrinated in their community activities, and it's all pushed together under the name of God and conservatism. It's like Dave Martin coming into the deck that day and telling the owner there, you need to put your TV on that Fox News channel. That's a real conservative channel. They're actually a conservative channel. You need to put your TV on there, and every time you walk in there, that's what the TV is on.
I suppose there are people in other parts of the country that might think that you're exaggerating a little bit, Sarge, but I know for a fact that you're not.
No, I'm not, and I'd invite anybody to come down here and see what kind of numbskull ideas these people are pushing, and a lot of it's through the churches. Now, it just aggravates the crap out of me because I see people suffering. You go to work for Orleans Furniture here in Columbia, which is our major industry. They make furniture, middle grade furniture, and they just they're really rough on their employees. I worked for them for a while after I got well enough. And I got fired for trying to start a union because I was sick of it. I didn't like the working conditions. They had hazardous chemicals all over the place. They had people exposed to danger. They had two fires while I was there that broke out in the chemical area. And my lungs to this day still have some soreness from that, and it all dates back to that day. So, I mean, it's so unsafe for these people, and yet unions, they're told the unions are bad. What the unions are going to do is they're going to come in and they're going to take your money and they're not going to get you anything. So the best thing you can do is just remember these guys.
That is chapter and verse, Sarge. That really is. That's exactly what gets said, and that's what makes important. You know, the little victories we see. What was it? A few months ago, the maintenance or janitorial workers in Houston organizing, and over in Tar Heel, North Carolina, the folks organizing there at that.
That's why I think these missions, like the Mississippi Mission that the three of us had on Novem and Unreported News put together, plus what the Veterans for Peace have coming down in this area shortly, all that put together, that's important stuff. And the more people that can get active in this, the better. Because that's how we're going to change the South. The South can be changed. And the biggest area that we can start that change is right on the Mississippi coast, because those are people suffering and they're tired and they're disenfranchised. They're sick of the Republicans. Trent Lott in his own home county, in a limited turnout, a very limited turnout, still did not get 35% of the votes cast in his own home county. Now that's a warning sign that people need to wake up to. We can beat these guys here. We can change the South.
You've just hit on something, Sarge, that I think is very important. To the same extent, and this applies to politics, it applies to labor organizing. There's a book out there called "Whistling Past Dixie," in which the author argues that we need to Democrats need to ignore the South.
Yeah, that's not a good idea. And if you'll read a book you can counter that with is "Foxes in the Hen House" or "Court and Bubba" by my good friend Dave Mudcat Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
These two books will really open your eyes. Now it's a little bit more moderate than I am, but it is important stuff. This man knows what he's talking about. He dethroned the governor of Virginia, Republican, longtime Republican governor, and I think he's in the Senate now or something. You can help me with who that was. He's still a big name.
Yeah, and I'm at a you caught me at a loss.
I normally could tell you. I'm just so tired now. This Katrina's got me wore down to the point where I can't hardly think anymore. But in fact, it's just like with Katrina. There's no organization. You're having to count on stuff that's great. I mean, it's good that the people are standing up and they're coming to our rescue down here. But it's bad in that while they're doing that, the government is sitting back saying, we're still not going to do anything. In fact, there's some funds that's tied up right now that I'm looking into that should have already been distributed, and they're being held up. They're not being let out. I haven't got all the details on it, so I don't want to say too much about it. But there's a lot of things going wrong down here, and the news media is not going to tell you. So, we're counting on people like Karen, like Norma and Head On and all these, Novem, all these. We're counting on you guys to help us get this word out, because, man, this everything that's going on in this country is so, so thick and so, so covered that everybody should be scared to death. I know as a veteran, you know, as someone who served in two times during war, I can't look around and watch this without tears coming to my eyes. And then when I hear these people blowing it off like it's no big deal or they're not interested because they don't like politics, it makes me just really depressed, because what the hell did I serve for? You know, what the hell? This is not the country that you know, I see our forefathers intended. We're not a Christian nation. We're not supposed to be a Christian nation. We're a secular nation that has religious tolerance, or supposed to. Okay, I'm almost up, Bob. I'll shut up.
Nah, it's okay, Sarge. I sure do appreciate it.
Thank you,
have
Bob.
A good weekend.
We'll talk
all right.
To you later, buddy.
Bye now. And, you know, soapboxes are good. This is one great big global soapbox, and you're welcome to participate in it. Let's keep it rolling. Let me check here. Calling from Massachusetts. Pat, welcome to the program. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Bob.
How are you?
Oh, I'm a little bit nervous.
We haven't lost a caller yet, so just take a deep breath and you'll be fine.
I had a one kind of, I don't know, small connection I made. I was watching last night when you guys had the Best of Show, and let me start from the beginning.
Okay.
I've been listening to y'all since Malloy got fired. I went over there because I've heard him. I went over to the Horn because I heard him talk about you guys so much.
Right. Mike's been very good to mention us and help us grow.
I haven't been able to put y'all down since.
Well, that's a good thing to know. That makes us feel really good.
Yeah. The thing is, I have to listen to you on podcasts all the time because I have twin 2-year-old boys.
And oh my!
Bedtime is between like 7 and 8. That means dinner time's around 6. So we never get a chance to hear you live or to call.
Yeah, yeah, it makes it a little difficult. I remember when our munchkins were that age.
Yeah. Well, I had some business this week, and so my wife is down at her family, and so I don't have the boys. So I tried calling last night when I was actually in Oklahoma City, finishing up my work. I didn't have my computer, so I didn't know you guys weren't live. I spoke to Agnes briefly.
I would like to have been live, but it was just a little dicey around here.
Well, I didn't. It's amazing when you don't have your computer how unattached you are. Like I don't listen to NPR, and I don't watch the news generally. And so I listen to like podcasts, I listen to Air America stuff, and I listen to you.
Right.
And I look online. I look at the blogs, I look at Truth Out. That's how I get my news. And 2 days without a computer, and I had no idea what was going on in the world.
Okay.
To get to the point, I saw this movie on HBO last night called Walkout. It was about the Chicano students walking out of school.
Oh yeah, it was about a year ago, wasn't it?
I think so. I don't normally have HBO at home, so I didn't even know anything about the movie. I just happened to be flipping, and I came across it. And it was amazing. These kids in L.A., because they felt like they weren't being treated right in school, they were able to muster the strength and stand up for themselves.
There's kind of a lesson in that for us, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm just wondering why we haven't yet, I guess. This country is, I'm only 37 years old, I'm not that old, but I mean, it's very different from when I was growing up.
Yeah, it is. And it's this, I'm 44.
Right.
And it's, I experienced the same thing. I have my own private personal theories about how it got to be that way. I think it has something to do with the way that we have changed the educational system in this country. But I also think it's a little bit economic too, simply because we have a hard time getting marches and rallies and protests together. That was a great one in Washington D.C. in January.
Right, but it's hard, especially for people in my situation with little kids.
Sure.
You're the primary.
And with the job.
Yeah, you're the primary breadwinner in the household. You can't. You don't have the vacation days to spend on it, and you don't have.
Right, and it's worth remembering, Pat, that of industrialized nations, we get less vacation time than any other country.
Yeah.
And so, you can't take vacation days, and you can't go and do what they did in the Ukraine or whichever Baltic state that was, where they just sit down and say, we're not leaving until the government gets unscrewed.
Right.
Because we'll get fired, and then we'll lose our house and our car, and our kids will go hungry, and everything falls apart from there. There's a lot of this, I think, that's by design, don't you? I mean, is that unreasonable?
No, I think it's absolutely. But at the same time, you run the risk of at least when I have a couple of conservative friends, and generally we avoid politics, but.
Well, that's the only way you can. It's the only way you can really stay friends. Is to stay.
I mean, when I start talking like that, you know, the answer I get is, "Oh, you just want to blame everything on Bush, or everything's the Republicans' fault. Nothing has to do with any of the choices you've made in your life."
Well, who in heaven's name's run the country for the last 7 years?
Right.
You know, these people, and that's the thing. Their answers are so very facile, Pat. You know, they ran the country for 7 years.
Yeah, absolutely.
They ran the Congress for 12.
Right.
And have they forgotten that when Bill Clinton left office, that he left a significant surplus that was gone in 6 months to tax cuts for people that didn't need tax cuts?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Tom Hartman always plays that clip about that. $500 million or $500 billion in tax cuts will be the equivalent to 100 or 1 million new jobs or something like that. So each job is equivalent to $550,000.
Well, I know, and
clip I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do. I do know, and it brings it all home in very stark relief.
Right.
You know, the thing is, and I don't. What makes it tough here is I don't fully understand how it is that the other side was able to con the people the way they did.
Right. Well, that was one of the,
and we got left in. We got left out in the cold on it.
Right. Well, and that was one of the things about the movie, that walkout movie that made me, because what was happening to the Latino students, the Chicano students, they realized they were being treated as less than. And for some reason, the 80% of this country that is actually less than, it doesn't realize that it's being treated as less than yet, and they haven't, you know, we haven't been able to muster enough.
Or maybe the misery level hasn't gotten high enough yet.
Well, I'm afraid it's all going to come really fast and hard, though.
That's the other thing. It may not be like the you know the frog in the pot of boiling water that never knows it's getting cooked.
Right.
It could fall apart rather fast,
yeah.
And rather because you know this economy is very fragile for all the cheerleading and rah rah that goes on out there, Pat. It's a lot more fragile, I think, than most people would admit.
One other thing, I know we're getting to the top of the hour.
Mm-hmm.
The broad thing that maybe we can talk about at some other time is I think conservatives in general are lazy and greedy, and that's what are their defining characteristics. And if you look at our economy being controlled by conservatives, you can kind of see how we got ourselves into the mess we got into. And
I think you're absolutely right, Pat. I hope we will talk again, and at some don't ever worry if you want to call in and the kids are playing in the background, doesn't bother us at all, because you know what, the kids play in the background in the studio too. So
yeah, well,
we've got four and
yeah.
We're home to it.
Well, it was just it's most of the time we're like sitting down to dinner right at 6, and then
uh-huh.
We finish up dinner, and one of us gives the boys their bath, the other one starts doing the dishes and stuff. And, you know, by the time we get them down into bed, it's 7:30, 7:45, and then we got to finish up the dishes before we do anything else. And then maybe we get, you know, an hour to ourselves, you know. So
Sometimes this being grown up is not it's not all it's cooked up to be, is it?
No.
Pat, thanks so much, and you have a wonderful weekend. Thanks for calling. I hope we'll talk again.
We will, Bob. Thanks.
All right. Bye now. And we'll be back after the Quality News Network broadcast for the top of the hour. If you want to get involved, 877-443-2366. If you're on hold, please wait. We'll go right to the phones. And by the way, there's some Ann Coulter stuff out there that we just got to get to, because this is hair-raising. This is the Head On Radio Network. This is The Horn, America's liberal voice. I'm Bob Sinclair.
Quality News Network. Secretary of the Army Francis Harvey resigned today in the wake of recent reports of substandard conditions at Walter Reed Army Medical Center. Defense Secretary Robert Gates announced Harvey's resignation at the Pentagon just a day after Harvey removed the hospital's commander, Major General George Waitman, from his post. In response, President Bush has ordered a thorough review of the medical care and conditions at military and veterans hospitals across the country. Tragedy in Atlanta, Georgia, before sunrise this morning. A charter bus veered off an overpass and crashed onto the interstate below. The Bluffton University baseball team on board was on its way to a game in Florida. Four players, the bus driver, and his wife died. In the South, 20 people have died after tornadoes swept across Georgia, Alabama, and Missouri. President Bush will visit the devastated areas tomorrow. The self-styled Islamic State in Iraq announced a new offensive today aimed at killing 2,000 police or other ministry forces to avenge three alleged rapes over the past month. They started by kidnapping 14 Iraqi policemen today. The bodies of 11 of those policemen were found this afternoon. The U.S., four European powers, and China have agreed on the framework for tougher sanctions on Iran. And the ice between Washington and Damascus appears to be melting. Washington is sending a high-ranking official to Syria for the first time in 2 years. More details have emerged re those missing ecotourists in the harsh Ethiopian desert. We now have reports that the missing group of 18 has been kidnapped. The other group of ecotourists has been accounted for. Earlier they called authorities by satellite phone. A ship sank off the coast of Haiti. The Coast Guard is on scene in recovery mode. A U.S. sailboat crew rescued the only two known survivors. Astronaut Lisa Nowak will not face attempted murder charges. She was, however, charged in Florida today with attempted kidnapping with intent to inflict bodily harm, burglary, and assault using a weapon. Switzerland sort of accidentally invaded its neighbor, the little alpine principality of Liechtenstein, last night. Seems a company of Swiss soldiers got lost in the dark and accidentally marched about a mile and a half over the border. When the Swiss soldiers realized their mistake, they did an about-face and marched back home. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Business and science are next.
Attention business owners. Getting new customers is now just one click away. Sounds too good to be true, right? Well, you got us. It's actually two clicks away with the new MyLocalYP.com. MyLocalYP.com is more than an online Yellow Pages. It's an interactive gateway that connects customers with your business, all in just two clicks. Why continue to pay thousands of dollars on an antique advertising medium, especially one that ends up going into the recycling bin? Make the smart upgrade at only a fraction of the cost. Try for yourself. MyLocalYP.com. MyLocalYP.com will put your business in the radar of thousands of potential customers. They'll be able to make reservations online, even print out the map with directions, all in just two clicks. Call 1-800-505-1883 today to find out more about this great new service. The sooner you do, the faster your cash register will start to ring. The number again is 1-800-505-1883. MyLocalYP.com.
The Alaska Iditarod Sled Dog Race begins tomorrow. 83 dog teams from all over the world will take 11 to 15 days to travel more than 1,100 miles of frozen wilderness between Wasilla and Nome, Alaska. The moon will turn shades of amber and crimson tomorrow night as it passes behind the Earth's shadow. It'll be the first total lunar eclipse in 3 years. Europe, Africa, and the Middle East will get the best view. The spectacle will be partly visible in Asia and the Americas. The free show will get underway at 3:18 p.m. Eastern Time. Robert Ballard is looking for evidence of ancient life along the beach in Texas. He's the undersea explorer that discovered both the Titanic and the Bismarck. And an operation to fit a Japanese dolphin with a rubber tail is being credited with saving the mammal's life. The tail was designed and made by a worker at a tire factory in Okinawa. A steep stock sell-off in Shanghai, a sharp rally by the yen, and worries about U.S. economic growth, along with trouble among subprime lenders, set the stage for savaging the U.S. stock indexes all this week. It wrapped up like this. The Dow was down 120 points at the close, to close up at 12,114. The NASDAQ fell 36 points, and the S&P 500 was off 16. Light sweet crude closed at $62 a barrel. Gold lost $21 and closed at $6.44 an ounce. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
You know, sometimes I'm ashamed of the way my brain works. I heard the story about the dolphin being fitted with an artificial tail. Oh, God, the first thing that came into my head was, you know, I wonder if there's a sushi bar around here. I haven't had sushi in a while. Oh, what are we going to do with meat? And the other thing, of course, can you imagine how embarrassed the Swiss must be? The Swiss, who haven't made war on anybody since Caesar. And they accidentally invaded Liechtenstein. And they were, you know, they were 70 miles or 70 kilometers into Liechtenstein when they... Was it kilometers? But then they all turn... Can you just see the Swiss army? Yeah, they don't... I guess they don't put compasses in the knives. Looking at each other going, oh my God, we've invaded another country. Quick! Let's get out before anybody notices. Let's go to the phones. Our good friend Luke calls in from Knoxville, Tennessee. Hey, Luke, welcome to the program. Thanks for waiting.
Good evening, Bob.
How are you?
Well, like I say, just happen to be upright and breathing, you know.
Well, yeah, you're sounding a little bit better, but not a lot.
That's one of them things. Been coughing so much, my side's hurting from where I've been coughing so much. It's like one just leads about, to the next.
Yeah, just about bust a rib.
That's the way it gets, dude. But let's get on to the stories, because I know we got a busy night. I wrote an email this afternoon. I encourage anybody else who wants to write an email to CNN and ask them, why are you all keeping Glenn Beck on the air, a man who this week openly performs an act of sexual harassment on the air? Have you seen this?
Okay, I missed that one, Luke. You're going to have to bring us up to speed.
You can go over to Crooks and Liars. They've got the tape. He had it's about somebody some inappropriate photographs, and I cannot think of what it is right now it's attached to, and I apologize for that. It's over there on the story, and he had a young lady who's a reporter from the U.S. Weekly on there, and he's talking to her and essentially propositions her.
Oh no.
I mean, just virtually does. I mean, when you get a chance to go over and look, it's at Crooks and Liars, and I mean, it's just one of the things you're just kind of sitting there, and you're just like going, where are they? Where are the people come in there picking him up by the back of the coat, just dragging his butt off the air? And you're just sitting there going, say something. Somebody say something, you know. I'm sitting there, and of course, as usual, I looked at Mr. Kurtz's column, and there's nothing there. I honestly believe that Glenn Beck is stripped naked and walk across the set, and Howie Kurtz wouldn't say a word.
You know, no. I mean, Howie Kurtz isn't gonna.
You know, it's one
because
of those...
Howie Kurtz has, you know, for somebody who talks a lot about ethics, he has none.
Well, he has ethics as long as you don't work for CNN or watch the Washington Post. You know, they had that thing a couple of weeks ago where, you know, they were talking about the Madrasa story, and he was real happy to jump on some people about reporting that story, except for Mr. Beck. Somehow he got left out of that. When that Mr. Beck made that pretty much the centerpiece of his hour that night. You know what I mean? It's sort of like, you know, that's fine as long as you want to claim you're, you know, holier than thou, so to speak, but you got to talk about it to everybody, not just the people you don't like. You know, it's like, say, you know, it's like we say about holding Democrats to the feet to the fire. If a Democrat screws up, I expect, you know, it's like this thing with William Jefferson. If, you know, if he screwed up, that's fine. I hope the Justice Department hands out the law. You know what I mean? It's like I ain't expecting, you know, them to give him a free pass. But Lordy B, I tell you what, some of this stuff nowadays just would be on me. Well, there's this stuff here, you know, with the Walter Reed thing. Where is the mention of you know, this story the other day with Dana Priest and this other lady had out, this story about the fact that Rumsfeld's known this for over 4 years?
Well, that was the question I asked to open the show, because everything I've read on the Walter Reed story, Luke, doesn't say a blessed word about Rummy, and this did not happen overnight.
Well, it's like this story that just came out the other day, you know, where we find out this thing that I've been following you on different shows about the lady at the State of the Union that got thrown out the same night Cindy Sheehan did. You know, that's why she got thrown out, because she was wearing that shirt that said about supporting the troops.
Right.
And it turns out she was one of the people trying to get people to notice about that. But she was, you know, doing this two, excuse me. Sorry about that. She was doing this 2-3 years ago, and, you know, just couldn't get anybody to pay attention. And I saw the thing earlier tonight, and they were sitting there talking about, well, the president's going to appoint a bipartisan commission to look into it. Said, why? The Post has already done it. It's there in print.
Yeah. Well, because you appoint a committee if you want to make sure nothing gets done.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to get something
done. You know,
look at the
9/11 commission.
Huh?
Okay. Look at the Iraq study group.
Oh God!
You know, they come out and they tell you do A, B, C, D, E, and in both instances, you know, one of the concerns in the 9/11 commission report, Luke, was airport security screeners. Now the Congress went back in January and voted 228-118 to repeal a provision of the Homeland Security enabling legislation that made it possible for the president to bar screeners from exercising their collective bargaining rights.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that got repealed. The Senate's getting ready to take up the bill. And there's a slim Democratic majority, you know, we all know that, we understand. But the Republicans are saying, screw it, we're going to filibuster it. And don't think for a minute that, I don't know if this is the kind of thing George Bush sits around thinking about, Luke, but doggone it, you know Karl Rove does, and you know the rest of that evil crowd does.
Well, that's where they need
and
to
get... And so, you know, committee schmitty.
Well, that's where they need... That's where right now the Democrats need to have their speak, you know, Reid and Pelosi and all these people out there saying, Mr. you know, say, fine, if the Republicans are against the working people, fine, go ahead and filibuster. Bring your throat spray because you're going to be talking a while.
Yeah, and actually make them do it instead of saying, well, okay, we don't have 60 votes, next.
It's sort of like, y'all...
You know, we don't have to take the filibuster away from the Republicans. We just change the rules to actually make them do it.
Uh-huh. That's what I mean. Sit down and say, y'all better bring you a blankie. You know, I said, I hope y'all brought your toothbrushes because you're going to be here a while.
Yeah, and in the midst of business that desperately needs to be done on the behalf of the American people, I want C-SPAN 2 to be sitting there running footage of Mitch McConnell reading the daggum dictionary.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm yelling. I apologize.
Well, it's like I say, somebody wants to read the phone book? Good. Like I say, I hope you get all the names right. But, you know, it's like this thing right now. I mean, the Democrats, what Harry Reid or somebody should be doing is get hold of somebody like Max Cleland. And right now he's back in the news, and he's not a Democrat, and that'd be a good thing if we get like Bob Woodruff, you know, who's just back, you know, and he's been through that, you know, and if you want some people to look into it, that's the people I'd say look into how we need to fix this.
Oh, did you catch Worst Person in the World the other night for Borders Books, and what they did to Bob Woodruff's book?
Oh, I haven't heard the whole thing.
Well, the picture, you know, I mean, he had a terrible head wound.
Yeah, if they shaved his hair off again, you wouldn't want to see it.
And so at Borders, they've got the sticker on his book with the sticker right next to it's touching his head, and it says 30% off.
Just so it'll cover that part of the picture up.
Well, no, just 30% off.
Oh, okay. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I figured they were trying to cover up the view of it. You know what I mean? And it's one of those things. It's like, guys, you know, this is what happened. It, you know, live with it. You know what I mean? If y'all don't want to see these people or like you know, with missing legs and missing arms, don't send them over there. You know, it's like say you support the troops. Good. You walk around the rural world with them for a little bit. You know, it's some of this stuff where, you know, where this stuff, you know, where they've shown that, you know, said as long as you're missing a limb, they'll really cover you. The biggest problem on this is, and this goes back to the Reagan Ronnie's days, is the fact that all of a sudden, you know, mental and anything involving, you know, the brain injuries, put them people over on the side. We don't want to see them. You know, if it's something physical, yeah, we can work on that. But if you've got some mental problem, oh, there ain't no such thing as a mental problem. You just, you know, you're just a whiner. You know, and I remember the days when Ronnie turned everybody out of the mental institutions, cut the money from them because, oh no, they ain't really bad, they ain't really sick.
Yeah, and did it under the really really sleazy rubric, Luke, of saying, well, we want these people to be treated just like everyone else. They're Americans too.
I tell you what, some of that, but and like I say. As again, and I'm going to keep saying this till somebody, I see somebody in the news covering it. I'm just waiting till somebody actually starts reporting on St. Rudy. You know, I'm, it's like I say, some of this stuff just bugs the crap out of me. You know, here they are tonight covering the fact that, oh my golly, Bill Clinton's actually going to go to this thing in Selma. We know, but he's never had any involvement, of course, with civil rights. You know, so why is he going to this? It's like, okay, he's going with his wife. Congratulations. You think she was going to go through the whole thing and he wasn't going to be with her in any of them? You know, it's like I said, they're just aching for a food fight on the Democrat side. You know, and they're going to do anything they can to make it happen. I saw the thing, what was it, today? They're doing these things where now they're going into Barack's family tree.
Oh, God. Yeah, I've so left that alone.
But you know what I mean?
Barack's mother's family owned slaves.
But have you noticed, though, and I'll say this again and again, apparently in our news media, all of Rudy's history before 9/11 no longer exists. No, he didn't do anything before 9/11. 9/11 is the only thing in his life.
Amadou Diallo? Who's that?
Yeah. Bernie Kerik? No, I never heard the name. And, oh, we talked about that the other night. Bernie is out and about. I saw him on the show.
He's out of the stir?
Oh, yeah. Well, if he was, he was on a very good pass, let's put it that way. Because he was out somewhere wearing one of his good-looking suits, you know.
Got his head all slickety.
Oh, yeah. Looked like somebody had played with him, buffed it up real nice and pretty. You know, well, like I think the funny story about Rudy is the one that, hang on a second. Sorry about that.
Okay.
I think the funny one was, I think I heard Randy Rhoads say this a few days ago. And when she told the story about, the crisis center in New York, and, you know, people say, well, Rudy was out walking the streets with his bullhorn. Said, yeah, Rudy had to be out walking the streets because Rudy's the one who, over the objections of the fire department and the police department, put the crisis center in the World Trade Center. So instead of being in a crisis center where he could command the whole city, Rudy was out in the street because the crisis center was gone.
Didn't have anywhere to go.
Well, it's like I say, the fire department and the police departments had said, do not put it there. It's one of the top
targets. Yep. Oh, God.
You know, I mean, but whoever hears that story, you know, I mean, or who.
And the weird thing that, you know, the polling numbers that came out, a few days ago that indicate that evangelicals are supporting Giuliani, yeah, that's going to last.
Like I said, I just want to watch Pat Roberts and say, yeah, we now support adultery. We think it's a great thing. I want to see him say it. I want to watch him and Falwell just as they say it, just so I could see their tongues rip out of their own bodies.
Brothers, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, so too with Rudy Giuliani. But he has seen the light of day. He's seen the light of the sweet Lord Jesus, and he is one of us now.
Good. I hope when that happens, they have Bill Clinton show up and go, howdy.
I love the way you think.
You know, it's like, okay, you think Rudy's a great fella? He's done it three times we know of. Here's Bill. We know one time with him for sure. Have fun. It's like I didn't see that. I didn't see that Bible for Republicans only. Where is that? And I know you haven't got into this whole thing with the James Cameron movie.
No, I'm just waiting for that Sunday evening.
Oh, okay. We'll talk about that next week because that's going to just be so much fun.
Oh, it's already fun. People are having hissies from noon to midnight. The poor Donald Wildman is just about to come completely unglued.
I know it's one of those things. You know, I hate saying it, but I really am looking forward to this just to see some of these people have to face themselves. You know, it's like say, fine, you've always claimed this. Now, if something shows up here that's absolutely physical, it says it ain't right. What are you going to do?
Well, see, I first heard about this via a blog that somebody linked me to called Is Reality Bites.
Oh.
And it's a guy who lives over there who apparently picked up on it and blogged on it.
Oh, okay.
And I mean, the fundies and the evangelicals landed on that blog like ducks on a June bug, Luke.
It's like, say, I'm just interested because it's Sunday night, so they can't. I'm just curious if we watch Sunday morning and watch different people like Shuler or some of these others, what all they're going to be saying. Don't watch it. Don't even go near the TV that day. Turn it off. You know, unplug the TV. Take no chances. It's just going to be interesting. Watch, like you say, watching all the fundies, just watching them spin. This, you know, it's like you get to play Twister without even having to spin the wheel. This is going to be so much fun. You know.
Well, you know, one of the things I love of the early spontaneous human combustion that I've seen out of it, Luke, is the claim that, well, Jesus was a very common name, and so was Mary, and so was Joseph, and so that could be anybody named Jesus, Mary, and Joseph buried there, because it was a very common name. And they don't realize that the very moment that it's coming out of their mouths, they're basically admitting, well, you know, that Jesus was just folks.
Yeah. It's one of those things. I mean, he's a prophet. That's fine. And, it, you know, and each person has to make their own decision on that. But like I say, it's one of those things. You know, we've talked before about the Gnostics. I mean, why is it that there are no records of him, like, say, through his teens into his 20s? You know, you got to think that there'd be some records here and there somewhere, some stories. Because some of those stories are him as a kid, being a kid.
Well, of course, those stories are recorded, and they're, curiously enough, recorded in the Quran.
Well, like I say, they're recorded, but you're not supposed to believe those exist. That's the key to them. You know, yeah,
right.
Yeah, there are those stories, but of course, that's the ones that Anglican Church and all them cut out in the 10th century or so, you know. Through those years of the Dark Ages, they had a lot of time to sit there and edit.
Well, you know, I just finished reading two brilliant books, one called Misquoting Jesus by Bart Ehrman, who really does a gorgeous job of making biblical textual criticism accessible for the lay reader, you know, me, you. There's one thing that he says in the book that just jumped off the page at me. He said, we know for a fact, this is beyond debate, this isn't doctrinaire, this isn't dogma, this is just a fact. There are more clerical errors in the New Testament than there are words. And if you sit back and let that one roll between your ears for a while, it'll blow you away.
Well, you know, it's like most people think, well, you know, we've read the Bible. I said, no, you've read about the 15th translation of the Bible. And it's like,
well, right. You know, one of the things that that people say, you know, Jesus went into his father's business. Joseph was a carpenter.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Greek for carpenter is technon, and it doesn't translate as carpenter the way you and I think of, you know, cabinet maker, woodworker.
Yeah.
It translates as laborer, day laborer,
mm-hmm.
working guy,
construction man.
Yeah, he's a construction. Jesus was a construction worker.
And it's like, say, you sit there and you think, guys, this is an area where there's some parts of this area, there's not a whole lot of trees, so carpentry was probably not a whole lot of being done, and a whole lot of it was being done with brick.
Precisely.
But, you know, it's just going to be interesting to sit and watch. But, you know, what I was saying a minute ago, though, about you know, like the 15th translation, it's like the old story, you know, when you start a story and you have a circle of people, and you tell one person and the next person, and by the time it comes around, it's a totally different story. The same thing with a translation. When you translate into one language to another language to another language, what we're getting probably ain't nowhere near close to what those stories actually are. You know what I mean? It's been retranslated and refigured into different vernacular of the time. You know, it's like when I was growing up, we had New World Bible, you know, where it went into translated the Bible out of the King James into English.
Yeah. Right.
People were like, no, you can't do that. I said, why not? I said, I don't think that, this is the reason it was written. It was exactly in the King's English either, was it?
Well, they burned or hanged John Tyndale for putting the Bible in English.
But you know what I mean?
So,
like I say,
yeah.
We don't know what the stories are. And like I say,
no, we don't. And if this kind of thing interests you, I do highly commend to you and recommend Bart Ehrman's Misquoting Jesus. It is just mind expanding.
Well,
because
it's
not just about scripture; it's about the process, and it really makes you stop to think about the process of literacy.
And how far that's had to come. It's like I've always said. For all we know, this may have been the works of the Jacqueline Suzanne of their time, or the Michael Crichton. Who knows?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We say, well, it's written down. I said, where? I said, these are stories handed down. I could just easily say Aesop's fables are just as real. You know.
Well, and for many people, they were.
Yeah. I tell you what, bud, I see it as the bottom of the hour, and I know I've been on too
long. That's okay, Luke. I always enjoy our conversations. I really, really do. I hope you get to feeling better, and you have a good weekend.
Bye.
All right, bye now. Again, I'm going to plug this book for the third time. I'm trying to get the gentleman on the show. Bart Ehrman, Ehrman, Misquoting Jesus. It's a big old spotlight. And reading through it, I mean, you know how I am. I sat there thinking, I time travel from time to time. And I remembered my frustration because there at Harvard on the Mon, West Virginia University, they offered Latin. They offered all the Latin I could stand. No Greek. Really, really miss out on having learned ancient Greek, or having not learned ancient Greek. So that's where we are. We'll come back, finish the program out. It's about 27 and a half minutes. Well, no, it's 28 minutes after the hour. This is the Head On Radio Network. And we're going to have some fun with Ann Coulter when we come back and a couple other little tidbits. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Do you believe the environment is issue number one? Does the idea of genetically modified food cause you to lose your appetite? Do you prefer green over greed? Do rising sea levels and vanishing polar ice cause you concern about our planet and what we are doing to it? Would you like news with attitude on the environment, organics, renewable sources of energy? Well, then join me, John Fox, for Foxed Up. Weekdays 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. in the UK, and 9 a.m. here in Sydney, where conversation radio becomes conservation radio, and we turn it straight up to 11. right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Herbst. I play Elizabeth Weber on General Hospital. I want you to know about a wonderful nonprofit foundation called the Jesse Cause, saving the babies from Group B strep, also known as beta strep. It's named after little Jesse, who needed three brain surgeries, all because his mom was never given a simple test. Group beta strep is the leading infectious killer of newborns in the United States, yet most people have never even heard of it. Amazingly, one-third of all pregnant women have beta strep, and it's almost 90% preventable with common antibiotics. Tell your friends about beta strep, and if you're pregnant, ask your doctor to test you. Together, we can save the babies and put an end to this devastating yet preventable bacteria. For more information, call toll-free at 877-HALT-GBS. That's 877-HALT-GBS. Or log on to groupbstrep.com. That's groupbstrep.com. Jesse and I thank you.
Okay, a couple of things I did promise, and I hate it when I say we're going to get to things and we don't get to things, so we're going to do this real quick, because it deserves to be done. I don't know if you're aware or not, but the conservatives, so-called, just had their big clavern meeting at the Conservative Political Action Conference. And, of course, all manner of right-wing Republicans showed up. Among others was former Massachusetts governor and sacred underwear wearer Mitt Romney, who said, quote, "I'm happy to hear that after you hear from me, you will hear from Ann Coulter. That is a good thing." Oh, yeah! Okay. Well, sure enough, following Mitt Romney, there's Anthrax Coulter, with her Adam's apple the size of an apple. And she gets up and well, you know what, rather than sit here and tell you about it, Agnes, if you don't mind, roll the audio. You just hear it from the horse's mouth.
Oh, and I was going to have a few comments on the other Democratic presidential candidate, John Edwards, but it turns out that you have to go into rehab if you use the word faggot. So, kind of at an impasse, can't really talk about Edwards, so I think I'll just conclude here and take your questions. Thank you.
Boy, listen to him clap. See, you know, you expect filth and garbage and trash out of that hateful thing's mouth. But it's always the way that it's not nearly so much what she says as the way they respond to her. You know, among other things, I've got an email here from the DNC, and it's a statement issued by Governor Dean, whom I have great respect for. And he says, and I quote, "There is no place in political discourse for this kind of hate-filled and bigoted comments. While Democrats and Republicans may disagree on the issues, we should all be able to agree that this kind of vile rhetoric is out of bounds. The American people want a serious, thoughtful debate of the issues. Republicans, including the Republican presidential candidates who shared the podium with Ann Coulter today, should denounce her hateful remarks." That's a little golf clap. Thank you, Governor Dean. I'm not being a smartass here. Thank you. Well said. Sanely said. But the one thing that Governor Dean, I am afraid, missed out on is that this is not all about Ann Coulter. I want you to hear, again, Agnes, if you've got it ready, I want you to hear not so much her words, but listen to the way the audience responds. It starts out with a sort of a shocked, "Oh, she did not say that." And then, "Yes, she did. And we're all together, and we're all conservatives, and we think that way too. And we love you, Ann Coulter. We love you, love you, love you." Play it again, Agnes.
Oh, and I was going to have a few comments on the other Democratic presidential candidate, John Edwards, but it turns out that you have to go into rehab if you use the word faggot. So, I'm...
This is what Bill...
So, kind of at an impasse, can't really talk about Edwards, so I think I'll just conclude here and take your questions. Thank you.
And that is a full-blown ovation. This is not about Ann Coulter. Ann Coulter has never been about Ann Coulter. This is about the Republican Party and their sick, twisted, morally bankrupt, ethically dead nature. They're not going to apologize. Mitt Romney's not going to apologize. The chinless Ken Melman is not going to apologize, because Republicans don't apologize. That's something Democrats do, even when there's nothing to apologize for. And I wish to God we could figure that out. I wish there was some way to get a really decent America to figure that out. Or do we just punt and say, well, you know, that's how it is in America, and we still think it's funny to call somebody a fag? You know, these dimwits haven't even figured out yet that it's not... This is the 21st century. Except among Neanderthals and Tim Hardaway. I'm sorry, I repeated myself. Creating a slur out of how somebody has sex is about the dumbest damn thing you could possibly do. But they don't know that, because they're still bigots. They're still that dumb. And they're still that... Hell, I don't know, being dragged kicking and screaming into the 13th century. Don't hold it against Ann Coulter. Hold it against the people who keep getting that sleazy witch paid. Figure it out. And to the phones, Preston calling from Denver. Hey, Preston, welcome to the program. Good to hear from you.
Hey, Bob, thanks. Thanks for the show, again, as always. And, yeah, that was really repulsive, what you played from Ann Coulter.
I don't do it for the shock value, Preston. I really, really don't.
It's to keep us informed and on our toes. There's some, you know, some ugly trends going on for sure. You know, that was on the heels of the Hardaway comment, which was on the heels of the comment from the actor, I forget the show, Boston Legal or something like that. Do you remember?
Yes.
And it turns out one of his co-actors is homosexual, and I don't know. It's interesting. Oh, go ahead.
Well, no, you know, in talking with Andy earlier this evening, we touched on the, you know, can you use the word Nazi and describe somebody? I remember seeing a documentary at one time where a child was talking about the fact that as the anti-Semitism, not at its height, but as it grew, it started out in the classroom with remarks like, little children, for heaven's sakes.
Yep.
But who would look at the teacher and say, "Teacher, could you open a window? I smell Jew."
Right. Exactly.
You know, this is that.
It is. In fact, the Nazis themselves really went after the homosexuals. I was at one of the Colorado history museums, and they had a gown from a concentration camp in a display. But instead of the gold star for the Jewish people they were exterminating, it had a pink triangle on it.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, and that's what they marked the homosexuals with. And really interesting documentary I found called Paragraph 175, which was a code in the Nazi penal code.
That was only taken off the German books in 1968.
Okay. Isn't that interesting? And here we are putting these new codes into our legal systems in some regions of the country. It's a real shame. But I will give somebody on the right credit, and that's Michael Reagan, the son of Ronald. He's a talk show, and I happened to catch just a moment of it today. And he played that, and he condemned it. And he was getting some grief from his callers who were defending it and saying, "Oh, Ann's taught us so much and taught us what to think about and what to talk about." And so I think that's great. And Reagan was like, no, this is inappropriate. And so...
Yeah, it's monstrous.
Yeah. Yeah. I want
it's none of my business. It's really, really none of my business, Preston. But you know, I think it's made more odious by virtue of the fact that it's coming from someone who is most likely as closeted as J. Edgar Hoover.
Yeah, yeah, and then they'll argue also. Hey, you know, they call themselves that sometimes. What's the big deal? Just like they did with the N word. And in some contexts, they do call themselves, but it all depends on the spirit of the thing and the context of the relationships. Joe Jackson, the singer, said something like, "Don't call me faggot unless you are a friend."
Yeah. Exactly. So. And you know, I'm not gonna go out on the street corner and use the N-word because it's no.
Right. Right.
Because that betrays such a fundamental lack of. I don't know if it's perspicacity or understanding or a lack of even caring.
Yeah.
What does the language that people use amongst themselves have to do with whether or not someone else can engage in hateful vitriol?
Right. Right. Actually on a different note, I wanted to mention to you that when you talked about misquoting Jesus, the book, you piqued my interest, and I looked it up on Amazon, and I was just reading about it, and I must say there are a lot of people who are checking that book out. It sounds like a very interesting book, and there are a lot of people exploring its ideas. It's like number 741 on Amazon.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, if you're in the top 1,000 there, you're really moving some books.
Well, Bart Ehrman comes to what he has done. I don't think you'd call it a mission, but I think it's safe to say that. He started out. He tells you at the beginning of the book he was raised Episcopalian, and then he became a fundy, and then he went to Princeton Theological Seminary, and I think the progress was Moody Bible Institute, Wheaton College, Princeton Theological Seminary. So you know he's not writing from a vacuum, and it's not mean spirited, it's not critical, it's not finger pointing or fun poking.
Great.
It is honest.
Great.
And the thing is, you would expect a book like this to be about 3 inches thick. It's not. It's maybe an inch.
Okay.
But it is absolutely word by word dense with information.
Okay, great. Well, I'll definitely check it out. I noticed the hardcovers pretty inexpensive. And I also noticed that the customer review section for it is very active, and all sorts of interesting insights and comments on the book as well. There are actually quite a few good books that are moving around. You know, we often kind of get discouraged by some of the corporate media that we see, and, you know, it seems so big and omnipresent and overwhelming, but, you know, there's a different sort of media that we don't always see all the time, but it's there. It's moving through different channels, and a lot of good ideas being passed around. I'm reading a book actually right now called Serve God, Save the Planet, and it's given me a very different look on some of the evangelical movement, which in some instances is very progressive. And this creation care part of it that honors the earth, they're engaging in these massive tree planting campaigns and putting solar panels on their churches, and it's interesting. A lot of progressive movement coming from some unexpected places.
Well, yeah, and the evangelical movement is there are corners of it that are having an absolute fit.
Yeah.
Over these people who have moved into the realm of actually caring about the creation.
Yep.
And they're almost declaring it anathema.
Yep.
Bill Moyers did a segment on it that was just amazing to watch.
Oh, is God Green? Is that?
Yes.
Okay.
That one.
Yeah, and I wonder, what's motivating them to bring that sort of bizarre theology to the fore. I wonder where they're getting some of their funding from. In fact, Bill Moyers, several years ago, probably about 15, 20 years ago, he did a story on some preachers in Latin America and how they were being funded by elements of the CIA and the business community to give a very reactionary vision to theology. And one very much anti-organizing and, just kind of accept your place. This is your place. Don't agitate and that kind of thing. So, that movement's very much a mix. I think authentically, the story of Christianity and all the spiritual traditions offer a very empowering message about, loving your neighbor and compassion and being peacemakers.
Well, especially in that time and in that neck of the woods, it was absolutely radical, it was liberal, and it was transformative.
Yep. It built communities of mutual respect. And, in fact, I think one of Scorsese's best films was The Last Temptation of Christ.
That movie got panned, but there's some brilliant stuff in it.
Yeah. In fact, there were protests from the right-wing elements of the Christian movement. They were told what blaspheme it was and all this kind of stuff. And so I thought, boy, I bet this is really worth checking out. And I finally did. And, yeah, I was really moved by it. David Bowie actually has a cameo in it. That's very interesting. He plays a Roman senator, and it's a very interesting interaction. And the music is beautiful too. Peter Gabriel did the score, and he actually won an Academy Award for that music he did. But I enjoyed
the other film that I'm no go ahead.
I was just going to say, I must say, I enjoyed the Oscars. That there's a part of the corporate media that really turned out helpful.
Yeah.
Al Gore got to speak to, a billion people? Fantastic.
Well, the other thing that happened at the Oscars that's really piqued my curiosity is Pan's Labyrinth. And, of course, I don't think it stayed here long enough to get the movie poster up.
You're right.
But it's fantasy, and at the same time, it's centered in the Spanish fascism, if I understand it correctly.
You are right.
And I really want to see that, because I have a feeling it's going to have something to say about what we're going through.
Yep. It is fantasy and political allegory. And some Mexican friends of mine were very excited when they saw they got the first award of the night, I think, or that I saw on TV. They won for art direction, Pan's Labyrinth.
Right.
And I did read one review of it that was very positive. And you're right, it just kind of flew through the theaters, though, that's for sure. And hopefully the DVD will be out soon.
Well, and maybe living in a fairly metropolitan area like you do, it might yet be findable.
Yeah, yeah. We have a couple independent video stores here, and we also have the Denver Public Library, actually, has a good collection of stuff, too. And sometimes...
Well, if you do get a chance to see it, Preston, give us a little review, would you?
Definitely. I'll do that. And
all right.
Yeah, and if you get a chance, you might want to give us a little review of Misquoting Jesus here on Amazon.
Well, you know, I might try to do that. And like I said, I'm trying to get Dr. Ehrman on the show as well.
Yeah, actually, I'm sure you've got your hands full. This is just hearing you talk about it was a great review, and I'm glad I followed your thread there. And
well, wonderful, Preston. Thank you very kindly. You have a great weekend. All right.
You do the same, Bob.
Take care.
You too.
Bye now. And we will wrap up the evening with our friend Jim. Hey, Jim, welcome to the program.
Hello, Bob. How you doing?
I'm okay. How about you?
Okay. You know, I have a DVD of Eva Braun's Home Movies of Hitler. Speaking of movies. And I don't even think they would have Ann Coulter be the narrator for that because it's silent.
Exactly.
I have two words to describe her. Super big.
Yeah, she is, but Jim...
she's not even invited to her own family reunions, I understand.
That is true. And from what Sarge says, if anybody lets out the whereabouts, they get ditched from the invite list, too. But honest to Pete, sure, we can assign blame to her for how nasty she is, but ultimately, don't you have to really take to task the people who giggle and clap and cheer in the audience? I mean, those are her enablers.
Oh, yeah. I'd love to have a conversation with her. I can guarantee you when I got through with her, she'd leave the stage crying.
And it would just prove that you're a mean liberal, like she says all liberals are.
No. I'm just a real nice guy who sits in his little house on the side of the road, and I just want to be a friend of man, Bob.
And there's so many people out there who just want to mess with that, isn't there?
I know. She is truly a real bitch. That's all I can say. That woman is just horrible. And you were talking the other night about another person. Who is that idiot that Imus has on his show? God, what's his name? He's a policeman, or he has his own...
Oh, Bo Dreidel, or...
Bo Dreidel.
Yeah.
You know, all he is us but a wannabe John Gotti. Look at the guy. Listen to him talk and see how he dresses and everything, you know?
Yeah, he's a wannabe.
And, you know, he turns... He was talking about Barbara Walters and Hillary Clinton. And he was using the word lesbianic. He's great for the dictionary.
Well, the thing is, again and again, these people are enabled. These people, you know, they don't just show, you know, TV cameras don't just materialize in front of them and or microphones. These people are courted, they're cultivated, and they are put out in the public presence for very, very intentional purposes.
I don't know. I just don't understand people like her. But she's really a combination of Luella Parsons, Hedda Hopper, and Magda Goebbels.
Well, that's a witch's brew. Well, not a witch's brew. That's
well,
unfair. But yeah,
she is. I mean, she's just one of the most hateful people I've ever listened to. And like I say, I don't think, you know, if they were still around, they would have even her to narrate Ava's home movies of her and Adolf romping around the Berghof.
And playing with the German Shepherds.
Really? But you know, those movies are so deceitful when you see them. I don't know if you've ever seen them or not. Have you ever?
I have.
It's springtime for Hitler and all of Germany. You know?
Exactly.
I don't have much else to say. I won't waste your time anymore.
Well, Jim, have yourself a good weekend.
Too.
All right, take care.
Good night.
Bye now. And you know what's fascinating? I saw another one of those documentaries that I catch once in a while. They actually managed to read, using some incredible technology, read the lips and reconstruct the conversation that was taking place in those home movies. It's fascinating. Well, that's it, everybody. Thanks everyone, for putting up with my occasional unplanned and unforeseen and unavoidable absences. We'll get up and have at it again Monday evening. I hope you'll be here and join us, because you make this awfully fun. The show, of course, tonight was produced by my lovely, darling, talented wife, Agnes, engineered by John Fox in Sydney, Australia. Peter Godbold of Godbold Computer Services in Tallahassee, Florida, is our IT professional. Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org is the hardest-working man in liberal talk. And all in the world Ben does is make sure that all of this is available to you via the stream, the podcasts, and the archives. He's got a fundraiser going on. It would be nice if you could help him end the fundraiser as soon as possible. Our many thanks to our many new listeners arriving via iTunes. Love to hear from you. Bob@headonradio.com is the email address. And, of course, all the programs on the Horn happen because there are several thousand members of the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters who get up every day and they go out and they build the American dream. And by supporting the Horn, they're helping to save the American dream. And always, 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 RMR. It's all for you.
Listening to the Horn, the Head-On Radio Network.
Listening to the Venture 3 Radio Network.
Snow says there will be no bilateral talks with Iran or Syria. Democrats aim to tack pet spending projects onto an Iraq bill. BBC has lost the tapes of 21st century's defining moments. Media blacklists BBC fiasco. Google and Dig censor the 9/11 truth. Iranian president to pay rare visit to Saudi. Gore says media miss climate message. U.S. had doubts on North Korean uranium drive. Newt Gingrich rips Hillary. Isn't that the pot calling the kettle black? Time poll shows Giuliani's lead widens, but draft questions cloud Giuliani's chances. Democratic leaders revamp anti-war plan. CIA says bin Laden in Pakistan establishing new camps. Again. February 5th national primary to include 20 states? Are they out of their mind? Group calls Gore a hypocrite over his power bill. And climate panel recommends global temperature ceiling and carbon tax. And finally, a new bill would mandate a nicer term for the word illegals. And there's been a lot of terms about me, but we can't talk about it on the air. These are the issues ahead on the Jeff Allen Wolf Show, starting now.